It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, off and running on this 29th day of October 2020. There are two broadcast days left in the month of October 2020. This is one of them. Tomorrow, Friday on the front porch, is the last one. Halloween's on Saturday. And for this benighted country, it's all trick, no treat. There are places where children will still be going trick-or-treating in this country in the middle of a pandemic because people are monumentally stupid. But, well, we'll get to all of that in the due course of, you know, things. Hi, I'm Bob, and we are, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we got enough thorns to make it look like somebody's been dethorning an entire, the entire Rose, contingent for the Rose Parade, and they left us nothing but the thorns. I mean, it's just all ouch. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program, of course, is no different. And thank you very kindly to Jeremy for being first past the post, getting us started this evening. That takes our evening's fundraising goal down to $630. And let's see, thanks to our lone subscriber for the 29th day of the month. Thank you to Joseph. Thank you, Joseph, so very, very kindly indeed. It is much appreciated. I cannot... all of our partial sponsors of the program are much appreciated. So, like I said, the fundraising goal for the evening is $630, and we've got a chance to knock out 150 of that, courtesy of our dear friend, Nidia. Nidia contacted me earlier today and asked me to please put forward on her behalf Nidia's Frozen Maggot Challenge. And I was thinking as I was posting the Podbean file, I repurposed a Jimmy Buffett lyric. You know, the song says, well, they're freezing up in Buffalo, stuck in their cars, while I'm lying here neath the sun and the stars. And I thought, well, they're freezing out in Omaha. Can't get to their cars. And maggots are whining because they're closing down the bars. Please don't say manana if you don't mean it. I've heard your lies for so very long. Well, I hope there's no rights violated in that. But Nidia was thinking in terms of we need to freeze the maggots out of the White House. And so Nidia's Frozen Maggot Challenge. Would that make them maggot sickles? I don't know. Nidia's Frozen Maggot Challenge is on the table to the tune of $50. If there's somebody out there with 50 or a combination of somebody's who want to put 50 forward, then Nidia will add another 50 on top of that, meaning that the fundraising goal will go down from 630 to 480. Yeah, that's how that... Man, that was some fast ciphering, wasn't it? Frozen Maggot Challenge is on the table, courtesy of Nidia, and it would be great if we knocked that out in a real hurry and got to work on the rest of it so that the what will have to be a Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle won't have to be quite so miraculous. Okay. Thank you in advance. And of course, if you do want to help out, the PayPal interface is right there at headon.live. If you want to become a Patreon subscriber, just go to contribute tab and go through and then click Patreon and you'll get through it that way. And thanks again so very much. Among other things, I made my oral surgeon appointment today because that's going to be a horrifying amount of money to be outlaid here fairly soon. That's next Wednesday at 2 o'clock. So I guess I'll issue a possible program interruption notice for prayer meeting Wednesday of next week because the appointment's at 2 over in Summersville, and hopefully it won't take too long, but there's a possibility I won't be back in time to be behind the microphone. So, and, you know, that's going to be, it's going to be $300. Yay. So that's part of the reason for the increase in the fundraising goal. The other one being that hell or high water, I got to figure out some way to get myself even some shitty coverage this time through the Affordable Care Act. Blech. It'll probably have a $10,000 deductible and be functionally worthless and still cost me $1,500, but whatever. So that's the biggest reason behind the increase in the fundraising goal. And so there it sits at $630. If neediest challenge is met, we'll get it down to $580 and then go from there. And by the way, thank you very kindly to our friend Terrace, who jumped in last weekend via Venmo. That's a possibility, too. If you like to use Venmo, then let me go ahead and... Because I don't... Brother Deacon, is that up over at the website? I don't know. But anyway, if you want to kick in via Venmo, it's at Bob-Kincaid-1. At Bob-Kincaid-1 on Venmo. So that's another possibility. Now, we've gotten all of the initial stuff out of the way. A reminder that accompanies the beginning of every program, and that is that if you'd like to augment your live listening experience, then by all means, feel free to jump into the Horn chat room. Just click chat room over at headon.live. And the early arrivers, Anatole and Colin and Jimmy and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, will all be happy to greet you. And you will be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator here at the end of October, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yay. Thank you very kindly to Ralphs. Ralphs says, I'll kick 10 in on Nidia's Frozen Maggot Challenge. So that takes us to $40 to go on that. And once it's met, Ralphs will kick in another $10. So that's awesome. So $40 to go on Nidia's Challenge. And hopefully it is met quickly. And we'll move onward toward paying the dentist. Yay. Alien Jimmy's in the back in the room. Hey man. Welcome aboard. And come on, just come on by. You'll have a blast. Let's see. There's a message out this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Melanoma has a message for the LGBTQ community. I'll bet you can't wait to hear this one.
Potential in everyone he meets, no matter their gender, race, religion, or sexual orientation.
Oh, and P.S. Fuck Christmas. Why do children have to have this Christmas?
Did you notice? Yes. I kind of stepped on that, so I don't want to miss Melanoma's message to the LGBTQ community.
A man who sees potential in everyone he meets, no matter their gender, race, religion, or sexual orientation.
You see, she couldn't say LGBTQ or LGBTQQQIA. She couldn't say any of that because it's complicated. But it's true. It's true. Donald J. Trump, the J stands for just leave already. Donald J. Trump does see potential in everyone he meets. Whenever he meets someone, Donald J. Trump says,
I wonder if this person has the potential for me to clean their clock a little bit, rip them off some, and maybe sell them some meat in the mail or some imitation Putinka vodka.
He does. He sees potential in everyone, gay or straight, cis or trans. It matters not. He sees potential in them as potential walking piggy banks for him. And sending me a lovely rainbow-colored graphic of an extended middle finger, Stephen New York says, my message, as a gay, to melanoma and all of her body doubles, I might add. Yeah, that was really weird. You saw the melanoma body double over the weekend last, didn't you? I mean, like, really? Melanoma's going to wear the same dress 3 days running? And the real giveaway, and the photo was taken in Marine One, the real giveaway was that the body double was smiling a real smile, a happy smile, not that sort of, I have terrible gas from my long-time eating disorder kind of thing that looks like that the real melanoma has. And the big dark glasses, I think it was Hope Hicks. I think Hope Hicks may be one of melanoma's body doubles. Of course, there's no way of knowing. But anyway, back to all of that potential.
A man who has a very big heart and have a great sense of humor.
Oh, he has very big heart and great sense of humor. If that's the case, why does he never smile? Why is not Donald Trump never seen laughing? Why is he never seen with an animal that isn't trying to attack him like that bald eagle did? Do you realize how long it's been since there hasn't been a White House pet? I mean, it goes back a long way. But not Donnie. Probably because when he was a child, he was caught torturing animals. You know, that's a sure sign of somebody not being particularly mentally, healthy. But yes, great big heart. Oh, yes, melanoma, yes. And I sink fangs into it every evening before lying down, every morning before lying down in box with little handful of dirt from home country.
Donald loves helping people, and he loves seeing those around him and his country succeed. But when he decided to run for the president as a Republican, the media created a different picture of my husband, one I don't recognize, and treated all his supporters with equal disdain. The media has chosen to focus on stories of ideal gossip and palace intrigue.
Ideal gossip? I do not know what is this ideal gossip. Is it, what is the unideal gossip?
Not sure. Now stop that, says Stephen New York. There is a White House pet. It's called Iwanka. I saw another picture of her. She's apparently been punished by sending her out onto the hustings in the company of Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags some more. Yule. And Arthur says, be not gay. As black girl grow up Yugoslavia, I know advertisement. Donald has big heart as say cardiologists. Big, big heart. Great with laughter. Ha, ha, ha.
By editorializing real events and policies with their own bias and agendas. For instance, My initiative, Be Best, has one main goal, helping children. Yet the media have chosen to take the attention away from children and focus on only the negative.
Yeah, the negative. The negative, like when my husband, Donald, who has so much big heart and laughs so hard so much, but never where anyone can see him, he bullies people online. Like I tell children not to bully online. They take attention away from my Be Best. Oh, for pity's sakes. Well, there's a reason. And I don't know where At Glen, Pennsylvania is. Maybe the members of the Pennsylvania contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation can tell me. But that's where she delivered these remarks. And you hear, they're just, I'm pretty sure there is not homosexual people in there in room at all. But they are clapping, so it's good. Hello, At Glen. I just flew in from Washington, D.C., and boy, are my arms tired from the flapping. Ha, ha, ha. Stephen, New York adding, yes, he has big, big heart, unlike his small hands. Da, hands, small, ha. But just in case you were wondering, the Human Rights Campaign has done a pretty good job of pointing out all the rotten things that Donald, who has big heart and sees potential in all people, even if gay, well, let's see, opposes the Equality Act, you know, the attempt to guarantee non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people, appointing anti-LGBTQ judges. Let's see, that would include Ann's boy Neil and Brat, and federal court nominees Kaczmarek, Matier, Bounds, Vitter, Menashe. And he also, because he is funny, funny man with big sense of humor, he make joke in 2017 about Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek, and how Mike Pencilneck Geek say,
don't ask that guy, he wants to hang them all.
He's in favor of being able to discriminate against LGBTQ people in the workplace. Trans people have been banned from the military. People with HIV have been banned from the military. I mean, even if the reincarnated shade of Alexander the Great came back and just turned out to have the unfortunate rotten luck to pick up HIV, Alexander the Great would be bounced out of the United States military for being HIV. He's made it harder for LGBTQ people to work in the federal government. His Department of Labor issued a regulation that lets federal contractors claim a religious exemption that allows them to fire LGBTQ workers. I mean, this list is huge. There's the guidance on to schools on for transgender students. Getting rid of the Obama-era guidance that said trans students should be treated like human beings. Well, that's gone. Betsy DeVos's Department of Education ignored civil complaints filed by trans students. It goes on and on and on. Revocation, rescission of Title IX rules that ignore sexual assault and change the standard of proof for sexual assault under Title IX from preponderance of the evidence, which is, you know, 50% plus 0.001, to clear and convincing evidence, which is way up north of 75%.
They even went so low as to make sure that children, that LGBTQ kids participating in 4-H are no longer protected. They let emergency shelters that, well, you know, provide a roof over people's heads in times of crisis. They said, ah, hell, Ben Carson, friend of Jesus, did. Ah, hell. We don't want to be letting them transgender, non-conforming, non-binary. We don't want to be. You don't have to let them into the shelter. They can freeze to death in the dark. They get a real kick out of putting transgender people in the wrong prison when transgender people run afoul of the law. They let foster care programs discriminate against gay families. They've refused visas to the partners of gay diplomats. It goes on and on and on. Transgender people are subject to erasure. His Health and Human Services Department has proposed a brand new definition that defines sex as either male or female, unchangeable, determined only by birth. The New York Times said the new definition would essentially eradicate federal recognition of the estimated 1.4 million trans Americans. And in official reports, employees are no longer allowed to use the word transgender. So that's not just going to war against people who are, but going to war against the very language itself. And God knows if you're fleeing violence in another country and you're LGBTQ, fur freaking get it if you want to come to the United States. The pride flag has been banned by the State Department at our embassies around the world during Pride Month. But Donald sees potential in everybody's. Sure. Matt in San Francisco with a note, subject line. A good time. When I think of a good time, and a couple that will liven up a party, Melanoma and 45 are the first ones to come to mind. He must be getting desperate to be parading out the misses. I think desperate is at least the proper word. And because the goddess of irony is on the campaign trail with Donald Trump too, I would be remiss in pointing out that while he left his maggots to freeze in Omaha, today, near Tampa, you had elderly maggots passing out in the heat. Yeah, he sees potential in every party. Okay, the geography search is still on. Bill in PA says, the only thing I can find is something called Glen Park, PA. Yeah, we're looking for at Glenn, ATGLEN, according to the news story. Not that it, you know. Right, and David in South Carolina, Stan asks, which Melania is traveling with him today? See, that's why I use body doubles. Maggots will never know is not real Melania when real Melania is giving terribly, terribly important LGBTQ potential speech in Pennsylvania while not Melania is in Florida. You, for pity's sakes. Oh, and this. Bob! Didn't think I was going to forget, did you? Bob! After reading Joey's journal yesterday, I got an email from my mother, and she questioned my use of the word guile relative to Jackie Robinson. Hi, Joey's mom! Thanks for listening. We're mighty glad to have you out there. She suggested guile has a negative connotation within its definition of sly and cunning, enveloping the word deceitful. Well, I responded to my mother that the fact that Jackie Robinson was a bit deceitful and a thief as well, considering Jackie Robinson as a baseball player was very fast and stole many bases over the course of his career. What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey says,
yeah, and just like Steve Mnuchin, Jackie Robinson stole homes from people at least 20 times.
No, Giraffrey, you're confused. Stealing Steve Mnuchin, a total piece of shit, did steal homes from people in California during a foreclosure scam. On the other hand, Jackie Robinson stole home plate 20 times during the course of his career, with the 20th steal coming in Game 1 of the 1955 World Series when Robinson was actually out at the plate, but the umpire gave Robinson the benefit of the doubt and called him safe, probably just out of respect for all the accomplishments Robinson had garnered in his baseball career. Many a baseball fan may have seen the footage with Yogi Berra jumping up and down and having a hissy in protest after Robinson was called safe in the 1955 World Series. If Jackie Robinson was deceitful in his personal life, it might have been when he was not honest with his wife in regard to all the threats he received at opposing parks. He often would not tell her the truth concerning some of the horrible letters that he encountered, especially in Cincinnati. Robinson was once asked which was the worst city for him to play in, and he said Cincinnati by far was the worst. Shame on Cincinnati for being a thorn in the side to Jackie Robinson. Well, irony of ironies, in 1972, Bowie Kuhn, the commissioner of baseball, requested that Jackie throw out the first pitch during a World Series in, of all places, Cincinnati. That would have been the year that the Reds faced off against the Oakland Athletics and lost in 7 games, I think. I was heartbroken. I was 9. But Bowie Kuhn asked Jackie Robinson to throw out the first pitch during the World Series in Cincinnati. For obvious reasons, Robinson did not want to return to Cincinnati, and Jackie was very disgruntled with the fact that baseball had not yet hired a black manager. Bowie Kuhn promised Robinson that there would be a black manager in the near future and asked Robinson not to bring the issue up to the media while he was in Cincinnati. However, Robinson was deceitful in a delicious way, as he had no intention of honoring Kuhn's request. If Jackie Robinson was going to go to Cincinnati, Jackie was going to have it his way and have his say. After throwing out the first pitch in the second game of the 1972 World Series, flanked by his family at his side on the field, Jackie stepped to the microphone and stated, "I am pleased and proud to be here to represent baseball, but I will be more pleased and more proud when I see a black face managing in baseball." Ironically, that was Jackie Robinson's last public appearance, as he would die 9 days later at the age of 53. Passed away on October 24th, the same day as, well, you'll have to tune in tomorrow to hear part 3 to find out. Oh, cliffhangers now. We're doing cliffhangers, are we, Joey? As if there was not enough irony, in 1974, the Cleveland Indians would trade for a man by the name of Robinson, and Cleveland would make Frank Robinson the first black manager in 1975. What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey says,
"You forgot to mention that someone from near Cincinnati originally extended an olive branch to Jackie Robinson."
I think Jeffrey's referring to Branch Rickey, the man responsible for bringing Jackie Robinson to the major leagues in the Pittsburgh, in the Brooklyn organization. Rickey was from a small Ohio town about 70 miles east of Cincinnati. This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 29th day of October, with Giraffrey ironing his number 42 Jackie Robinson uniform. Well done. Well done. Now I'm curious about part 3. And I have happy news. Thank you. Thank you to Michelle for jumping in on Nydia's Freeze Out the Maggots Challenge. And thank you to Cullen for jumping in as well. That means that Nydia's challenge has been met. And thank you, Nydia. And thank you, Ralphs. And so we will, that will now take us down to 480. And beyond that, we are down to
460. 460 to go in catching up with stuff along the way. Catching up with the fundraising goal. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. So onward we go. And yes, I agree. That's why I awarded the cowbell. Billable Rick says, cowbell for Joey's excellent journal today. He and Giraffe always have top flight thoughts. And a little tiny jingle for the top flight thoughts. Yeah. Thanks, Billable Rick. Hope you had a great birthday yesterday. And I saw that the fires were encroaching in Orange County, and I hope you guys are staying safe and being, you know, really, really on top of things. I talked to my sister last night down at down on the Gulf Coast as Zeta was whipping onto the onto land. They were on the more ferocious side of the storm, and I just checked in with them before all the power went out. And there were I could hear the bangs in the background as various and sundry transformers blew up. Oh, someday we'll have a decentralized power grid, and the hurricane won't necessarily mean that everybody loses power. Someday, right? Someday. At Glen PA, we finally, the mystery has been solved. It's in Chester County, PA. In the lower southeast corner of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, trying to work the outer Philly suburbs. So that much is solved. You know, there's a there have been the Lincoln Project has done a lot of fantastic work. This may be the best. You remember back in 2011 when the Zeta hit Stephen New York says Zeta hit my family in Georgia last night. Now I feel the need to check and see. Yeah, no Steve from Georgia standing there. I hope Steve has power. But like I said, remember back in 2011 when the Honey Badger video went viral and the phrase, Honey Badger, don't give a shit. Entered our consciousness. Well, the Lincoln Project found Randall, that's all we know him as, Randall, who narrated the Honey Badger video. And there's now a new video out. The Kofi Spreader.
This is the Kofi Spreader. Watch him lumber along with his friend. The Kofi Spreader is pretty crazy. It has no regard for any other person whatsoever. Oh, and look at all the Kofi Spreaders in the garden, spreading it all over the place. That's nasty. Ooh, look at this Kofi Spreader. He don't give a shit. Look at his wet little nose. Ugh, look how he burrows that wet little nose in. Get in there, Kofi Spreader. Oh no, look at this crazy Kofi Spreader. This
Kimberly Gargoyle.
Fuck? She just yells and yells and yells. What is she yelling now?
The best is yet to come!
Ew, that is so nasty. This nasty one wants her COVID everywhere. Ooh, here's a den of Kofi Spreaders flipping their hair around
Tiffania.
All over the place. Kofi Spreaders
Laura
don't
Trump.
Care. Kofi Spreaders flip their hair around wherever they want. They don't give a shit. Oh, and there she is.
I wanka.
Queen. Kofi Spreader is looking around to see where she can spray it. Ew, it's going to be all over the place. Oh, look. Here's a fierce battle between Kofi Spreader and
debate
this
stage.
Nice COVID-free gentleman. He's nice and healthy, but Kofi Spreader don't care. Look at him yelling and launching his droplets. He don't care. Oh, he's just launching his Kofi rockets at him. He don't give a fuck. Look at this Kofi Spreader. Ew, a fly just dropped right on his head there. He's just living on his head right now, but Kofi Spreader don't care. Kofi Spreader don't care if a fly lives on his head. Oh, look at where he is now. He's way up high now. If Kofi Spreader wants to go way up high, he just does it. Nobody's gonna tell him what to do. Covey Spreader has sharp, tiny claws that he uses to put his nasty, infected mask away in his pocket hole. Get in there, mask! Covey Spreader don't need you! At nighttime, the Covey Spreader goes begging. He just goes wherever he wants and begs. Let's see what he has to say this time.
I'll kiss the guys and the beautiful women and them. Everybody, I'll just give you a big fat kiss.
Ew! Oh my god, that's nasty, Covey Spreader. You're nasty. But Covey Spreader don't care. Look at him dancing. Covey Spreader don't care if they die. He just dances. He don't give a fuck. Covey Spreader likes to punch people when he dances. Oh, look at him go. He gives them the COVID and then he punches them with his tiny little hands. And of course, what's everyone going to take home with them tonight besides this nasty image? COVID. The Covey Spreader.
You know, this isn't all being generated by Steve Schmidt and Rick Wilson. There are some real geniuses there at the Lincoln Project. And I remember when they announced the formation of the Lincoln Project, I thought, yeah, sure. Well, I was wrong. They have lived up to their promise to make Nitwit Nero's life miserable. And then on this, Rusty, that was Randall. That's all we know him as, is Randall doing the narration. Then on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, there's Senator Ron Johnson. And Ron Johnson, not exactly the sharpest sandwich in the chandelier. Ron Johnson got all mad. About a tweet. You've noticed that these Republicans can't... they don't understand humor and they don't understand parody. No. So, at the Senate tech hearing yesterday, where, in addition, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, threw a hissy about Twitter blocking the bullshit Hunter Biden story that has no basis in truth whatsoever. Well, there was also Ron Johnson, who got so upset, he said he demanded Jack Dorsey take a tweet down. That could definitely affect my ability to get reelected, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin said. The tweet? Well, here's the tweet. From Mary T. Hagan. At Mary Therese 5. Senator Ron Johnson is my neighbor and strangled our dog Buttons right in front of my 4-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter. The police refuse to investigate. This is a complete lie, but important to retweet and note that there are more of my lies to come. So in other words, this person in their tweet said, I'm telling a falsehood, but that happens every day, and in fact, the maggot campaign is engaged in one even as we speak. You see how it works? But Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mill there. No, he doesn't. He didn't understand that this person was punking him and his party. From the, hey, how do you like it when it happens to you perspective? Because Republicans. I'm not that hip, Brother Deacon. Oral Surgery Bob, are you having a $200,000 diamond grill installed? No. Not at all. On a tech note, Venmo doesn't allow us an API, so we can't interface with them on the website. So if you want to use Venmo, just holler at me, email, whatever, and I'll tell you at Bob-Kincaid-1 for Venmo, if you want to participate that way. As far as melanoma is speech, can the billionaire not afford an English tutor for her? I cleaned that up a little bit because I try to avoid potentially objection raising. But no.
She is taught good enough. You not think? Well, that's not fair, Bob. I bet you don't speak Slovenian as well as she speaks English.
No, I don't. I don't speak a lick of Slovenian or Slobovian. Or I can't say just leave the money on the nightstand in any language but English. And more's the pity. Yeah. Oh, and you know how Nitwit Nero's been running around saying,
cases are up because we test, the fake news media conspiracy, many young people who heal very fast, 99.9%, corrupt media conspiracy at all-time high. On November 4th, topic will totally change. Vote!
Right. And, you know, disdain for masks and all of that. Well, lo and behold, I guess the testing czar of the entirely ineffective and largely corrupt coronavirus task force at the Maggot House is going to be in deep shit with his boss. Again, as Peter Alexander reported,
case is up because we test.
And then there's Admiral Brett Giroir. It's not just a function of testing. Yes, we're getting more cases identified, but the cases are actually going up. And we know that, too, because hospitalizations are going up. Oops. Yeah, that's going to be problematic. Yeah. And at the super spreader rally just 1 week ago at the Gaston Municipal Airport in Gastonia, North Carolina, there was no social distancing. And looking for somebody wearing a mask was like playing Where's Waldo? Well, two people at the rally have already tested positive for COVID-19. That, according to the Gaston County's health department as of today. Anyone who was anyone who was in attendance at the rally is encouraged to monitor their symptoms and seek testing if needed. Nah, don't do that. I mean, stay home. Don't give it to anybody else. You've already done your part. But, you know, your God Emperor says,
most people, 99.9% of the time, are just fine. They have no problem.
So just stay home. Call somebody once in a while. I mean, if you get to the point where all you can do is call and go, maybe somebody will know to come and look in on you if you don't call them again in a day or so. I mean, I know that sounds vicious. I know that sounds mean. I don't even like thinking that way. But that's not really me so much me saying it as that's their attitude. And here's the one of the more interesting factoids about the infection in Gaston, North Carolina. The two people who tested positive were independent of each other. You know, it's not a husband-wife team or a husband-husband team or a wife-wife team or brother and sister or, pair of second cousins like with Doc Hensley there in Hohenwald, Tennessee. No. Two people entirely independent of each other, which means that they were spreading it entirely independent of each other, which means community spread. The county says they're working on contact tracing because of the large number of potential contacts from the rally and the inability to alert them directly. Now, there were 15,000 maggots at that thing last week. And as Raw Story notes, the campaign ticket waiver says they're not responsible for anyone getting the virus while at the rally. The Charlotte Observer publishing, While attendees were asked to wear masks upon entering the event, many took them off once inside, including police officers, firefighters, and other officials. Once inside. As with all things Trump, that's exactly backwards. You wear your mask indoors, and if you're outside and socially distancing and 15, 20 feet away from the nearest person, then maybe you can take your mask off. Oh, well. Super spreader, schmooper spreader. Because they're immune. Because, of course, they are. Oh, and by the way, a couple of days ago when Biden was in Warm Springs, of course, the maggots came out, toting guns and whatnot. And brawling ensued between the Biden supporters and the maggots. Because the maggots can't just let Joe Biden have a, you know, have an event. They got to show up and defend Donald Trump. God almighty. Oh, and great moments from debates. This is a real Lulu. There was a debate between Purdue and John Ossoff in the Senate race in Georgia. Remember, there are two Senate races in Georgia. One is for Kelly Loeffler's seat, which she is scrambling to keep. And the other is for the full-term, six-year-term Senate seat presently occupied by incumbent Purdue. Well, in the debate, John Ossoff did the political verbal equivalent of punching him right in the face. You might actually enjoy this. It's kind of refreshing to hear a Democrat go after a dirty, corrupt Republican straight up and head to head and no kidding.
Well, perhaps Senator Perdue would have been able to respond properly to the COVID-19 pandemic if you hadn't been fending off multiple federal investigations for insider trading. It's not just that you're a crook, Senator.
You know, he says that it's not just that you're a crook, Senator, and I expected him to say, it's that you're a really bad one. But no, John Ossoff was even better than that.
Trading. It's not just that you're a crook, Senator. It's that you're attacking the health of the people that you represent. You did say COVID-19 was no deadlier than the flu. You did say there would be no significant uptick in cases. All the while, you were looking after your own assets and your own portfolio, and you did vote four times to end protections for pre-existing conditions. Four times. And the legislation that you tout, the PROTECT Act, it includes loopholes that specifically allow insurance companies to deny policies to Georgians with pre-existing conditions. Can you look down the camera and tell the people of this state why you voted four times to allow insurance companies to deny us health coverage because we may suffer from diabetes or heart disease or asthma or have cancer in remission? Why, Senator?
And there's, I think John Ossoff already kind of, gave the reason for that. Because he's corrupt and a crook. A criminal. Damn. Now here's the good news. In blood red, reliably Republican, why do Democrats even bother to run Georgia? John Ossoff is neck and neck with Purdue. Yeah, David in South Carolina stand because, you know, because clever. Purdue chickens out. Get it? Purdue chickens. From the John Ossoff campaign. Breaking, Senator Purdue just canceled our final debate. At last night's debate, millions saw that Purdue had no answers when I called him out on his record of blatant corruption, widespread disease, and economic devastation. Shame on you, Senator. Yow! So, I guess that body blow. You remember that old boxing, first person boxing game back in the 80s? Body blow. Knock him out! Yeah. But the other thing is, in the other really weird race, the race that's essentially a runoff on November 3rd, the race with the incredibly long ballot, the race that somebody made sure Matt Lieberman got into and would not get out of. Well, right now, the front runner in that race is, in fact, Reverend Raphael Warnock, the Democrat. I mean, Lieberman's running as a Democrat, but nobody believes that the Lieberman is ever a Democrat. Yeah, he really is. He's the front runner. And then Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins and Kelly Attila the Hun Leffler are duking it out to get the loyal, hardcore, still blood red, white wing evangelical fundamentalist vote. But again, as I've said before, that would be a tectonic shift. If Ossoff wins outright. But the top two vote getters will go to a January runoff in Georgia, and so it'll probably either be Warnock and Leffler or Warnock and Collins. And if it's Warnock versus Collins, that's going to be fascinating because it's going to be preacher versus preacher. And while I'm not a Christian, I by far prefer the Christianity of Reverend Raphael Warnock of the Ebenezer Baptist Church versus the hate-filled, resentment-fueled Southern Baptist Christianity of the Reverend Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins. But that would be huge. It's sad to say, but it's being taken for granted that the hedge fund con artist Tommy Tuberville is gonna prevail in Alabama. So we're gonna lose a Democrat. But if those two seats could go to Democrats in Georgia, let's do some math. That'd take us to 49. Arizona, 50. Colorado, 51. Iowa, 52. And then back to 51 because of Doug Jones, if he loses. I hope he doesn't. Precious Lindsay losing. That'd be 52. Susan Collins, 53. Oh, my, this is getting excited. Very exciting. Yeah. Dare to dream. Dare to dream. Georgia. Yeah. Billable Rick with a maggot rally joke. What's more dangerous, attending a maggot rally in this era of COVID-19 in blustery Omaha, Nebraska, or skydiving? Of course, skydiving. When skydiving, you're at least given a parachute to land with, whereas you're completely on your own at maggot rallies with no guarantee against freezing to death. Is that... Yeah. Oh, and thank you for letting us know. Bilbo Rick's OC fire update. Things are fine with me and Star in the OC. My boss had to evacuate from his house in the hills above Yorba Linda. and we had a few palm fronds catch on fire in the parking lot of my office. Other than that, we've been largely unaffected. I understand that right now the main fire in Silverado Canyon is burning largely in wilderness areas not far from Irvine and Anaheim. Sheesh. Well, I'm glad you're safe, you and Star. Billable, please stay that way. And, hey, thanks again to Colin. Colin just took us down even further. Let's see, where were we? We were at 460. We're down to 410. And Gary just took us down to 385. Thank you, Gary. 385, so we're making progress. And if I'm a little slow to acknowledge, that's because I'm getting my PayPal's being real funny about getting my notifications to me. Lee in New York, Senate polls. It appears that Illinois, Minnesota, Michigan, and Arizona, and the Georgia special election are all showing Democrat at 50% or above to no better than 43% for the Republican challengers. Leaning blue are Maine, North Carolina, Iowa, Georgia, Montana, and then reliably red with a 10% lead is, unfortunately, Moscow chinless Mitch McConnell, 51-41 over Amy McGrath. In Mississippi, it's 52-44, likely. MJ Hagar is 7% down to John Cornholio in Texas. The lead is 3% for the Republican in Alaska. It is 2% in Kansas. And in South Carolina, they're showing a 2% lead for Precious Lindsey Graham. Montana is leaning blue, 48-47. Georgia, the other election, is leaning blue, 48-46. Iowa leaning blue, 47-45. North Carolina leaning blue, 47-44. And remember, please, the one election, you know, there's a runoff involved, unless if Raphael Warnock were able to get 50 plus 0.00001% of the vote, there would be no runoff. Unless I am sorely mistaken, and I don't think that I am. Oh, and thanks to Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Jimmy just doubled his Patreon pledge. Thank you very kindly, Jimmy. Much appreciated. 385. 85 bucks gets us, 85 more bucks gets us down to just today. So thanks, everybody, for jumping in the way you have. And then, well, this from Ron in Raleigh. As great wrestling announcer Jim Ross would say, candidate John Ossoff stomped a mud hole in Senator Perdue and walked it dry. He stomped a mud hole in him and walked it dry. We need more of that, Ron says, and less of DiFi kissing Miss Lindsay's ass. How much money do you think she gave to his campaign? God, I can't even abide the idea. That would have to be public knowledge that DiFi gave money. I mean, please. I mean, I know she's a collaborator and everything, but that's nauseating. Ew. Oh, wow, cool. Les letting me know that Michelle, who kicked in this evening, that's Les's beloved spouse. And Les said, Michelle had a big smile when you shouted her out on the air. Well, heck, you get two, Michelle. Much appreciated. Thank you. But again, now, in one of the more both bizarre and humorous stories of the day, I mean, wow. And bizarre enough that I got an email from, I got an internet. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. I got an internet from Megan not long before airtime. And Megan said, oh, darn it, where'd you go? And it had to do with this particular story. The upshot of the email, you know, why don't we just use the search function and that'll make things ever so much easier. Please make this make sense, Bob. Because I can't. Well, we will start with just the audio. For this, of course, we have to go to last night's installment of the Tucker Carlson White Power Hour. In which Tucker explained the strange case of the dog that ate the documents in the night and didn't bark, or something like that. Okay, come on. Oh, wait. Wrong button. Someday I'll have a producer. Here we go. Take it away, Tucky. You know, when it doesn't cooperate, it doesn't cooperate in rare fashion. Now here we go.
My executive producer Justin Wells and I were in Los Angeles preparing to interview Tony Bobulinski about the Biden's business dealings in China, Ukraine, and other countries.
Yeah,
so
Tony,
we texted a
Tony Bobulinski. I hear that name, and maybe that's a real person. But I always think of Chevy Chase in Fletch and his made-up names. John Carcosten. That was a bit that he started way back in the days of Saturday Night Live. Mitch Cumstein. Yeah. Tony Bobulinski. Yeah, sure. But 'tis a puzzlement. There were documents, but only one copy.
My executive producer, Justin Wells, and I were in Los Angeles preparing to interview Tony Bobulinski about the Biden's business dealings in China, Ukraine, and other countries. So we texted a producer in New York, and we asked him to send those documents to us in L.A., and he did that.
Yeah. Now, they flew all the way across the country to interview Tony Bobulinski, if in fact that is your name, Colonel Bat Guano. But they forgot to take the key, crucial, game-changing, oh-this-is-everything documents with them. So they had to have a producer from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda overnight the documents. Because, well, of course, I mean, you couldn't just take a photograph of the documents with your smarty pants phone.
So Monday afternoon of this week, he shipped those documents overnight to California with a large national carrier, a brand name company that we've used, you've used countless times with
probably DHL.
Never a single problem. But the Biden documents never arrived in Los Angeles. Tuesday morning, we received word from the shipping company that our package had been opened and the contents were missing.
No.
The documents had disappeared.
Really?
Now, to its credit, the company took this very seriously and immediately began a search.
Of course.
They traced the envelope from the moment our producers dropped it off in Manhattan on Monday.
Logistics.
All the way to 3:44 a.m. yesterday morning.
Yeah?
That's when an employee at a sorting facility in another state...
What state, Tucky? What state?
Noticed that our package was open and empty.
Oh.
Apparently it had been opened. So the company's security team interviewed every one of its employees who touched the envelope we sent. They searched the plane and the trucks that carried it. They went through the office in New York where our producer dropped that package off.
Uh-huh.
They combed
yeah.
the entire cavernous sorting facility.
Wow.
They used pictures of what we had sent
pictures.
So that searchers would know what to look for.
They had pictures after all? And there was only one hard copy of these damning documents? Nobody thought to make a second copy? File copy, maybe? I think it's called in some circles. Okay. Man, I tell you what, I mean, we just run a little shoestring operation here at the Horn, but I think we could teach the folks there at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda a thing or two about documentation and whatnot. I mean, if you got one, you need two. If you got one copy, you need two copies. If you got two copies, you need four. And maybe, and who knows, maybe Tucky was all excited because he was going to fly across the country and already had a rendezvous set up with a rent person. Who knows? Who knows? But, you know, mistakes are made.
It went far and beyond, but they found nothing. Those documents have vanished. As of tonight, the company has no idea and no working theory even about what happened to this trove of materials, documents that are directly relevant to the presidential campaign just 6 days from now.
Yeah, see, I don't think if I was the company, I'd have an explanation either, because it didn't happen. Now, you're hearing this audio. You may have heard it earlier today. I've heard it a couple of times, and I keep... Wait, am I listening to this wrong? Is there anything about this that sounds even remotely believable? And the answer is no. The only way this is believable is if you are a maggot. And being a maggot, you desperately want to believe that once upon a time, there was a laptop that got left in some nondescript laptop computer repair storefront joint somewhere in the backwoods of Delaware by Hunter Biden, who just forgot to get this laptop that had all this damning information about his, oh my God, corrupt business dealings with China and Ukraine and maybe even that country that that genius Nimrata Haley talked to the phony Moscow Morning Zoo crew dudes about, you know, Bonomo. He was probably making business deals with the Bonomomonians. You know, it's been downhill for Tucky ever since John Stewart called him out on Crossfire on CNN. I mean, I'm sure they pay him well at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. But jumping Jehoshaphat, this is what you're down to?
We spoke to executives at that company a few hours ago. They seemed baffled and deeply bothered by this. And so are we. After break, we'll have more information about Joe Biden's business dealings around the world. They were very worried, the Biden family, about this story coming out. And we have audio evidence of how worried.
Only they put it in an overnight mail envelope and somebody's dog ate it. This is so monumentally silly. The story has been desperately trying to get legs for a year, maybe, or more. More than a year. There's a Politico report, according to New York Magazine, There's a Politico report from spring 2019. Ukrainian oligarch looking for help with a potential legal jam, shopping around some sketchy documents that found their way from a laptop in a repair shop in Delaware to Ukraine and then back at right. Mm-hmm. And the bullshit story had been making the usual circuits in Ukraine before somebody handed stuff over to a lawyer for Rudy Giuliani, whose credibility now that the Borat second movie is out is effectively zero. Mm-hmm. But Tucky's team got them and forgot to copy them. And then they mailed them from Washington to Los Angeles, and they disappeared. And wait a minute. Oh, my God. This morning, we took the doggie out for a walk. And I turned my back, and I looked back, and she was standing there with some paper. It looked like copy paper in her mouth. And as I took them from her, I looked down, and I saw the words, Hunter Biden. Oh, no. Our dog ate them. Well, okay, so UPS says they found a package and the contents have been located and they've been given back to Tucker Carlson. And it doesn't appear that they were stolen by the deep state or the pedophile ring or Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. It was just, a mistake. It happens. Tucker Carlson, after all these years, says Flavio, still hurting America. Yeah. And Ron and Raleigh pointing out, according to Matt Bender on Sam Cedar's show, the documents have been found. Whew. Oh, thank God. Right, but these are going to change everything. As Matt in San Francisco points out, but it was the strawberries. That's when I knew I had them. Mm-hmm. There were probably strawberries in the UPS pouch. They thought I was crazy. But I proved it with the strawberries. Lee in New York, the lost delivery. Too bad important documents had to be sent by mail. If only there was a way to make a photographic copy. I see a business opportunity here. You could call it, but something really, really eye-catching with a letter that nobody ever uses to begin a word like Xerox with an X. Maybe they could have a device, Lee suggests, that sends some sort of facsimile transmission. Wait a minute. This is just begging for my bad Captain Kirk. Maybe they could have a device that sends some sort of facsimile transmission device to have a copy with the sender and the recipient. It could even let you know it is working by making an awful noise. Could it be possible that emails could be accessible on more than one computer? Nah, I'm just dreaming of a better world. One day, says Lee in New York. And people are running for the hockey. They're running for the... My God, I haven't done my terrible Jim Kirk in a long time. And it is terrible, without a doubt. Oh, and then there were the gross domestic product numbers that came out today. You caught those, I'm sure. Oh, the MAGAT administration was so proud. It was the highest domestic gross domestic product jump on a quarterly basis in the whole entire history of American gross domestic product quarterlies. in the entire history of the universe under God. Yep. Oops. Problem is, that jump came from the stimulus and from expanded unemployment. Right. And it turns out that the best way it was explained, Steve Rattner, who is way, 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 way insufficiently ideologically pure on my filthy morning habit today, explained the numbers saying, if you lost $100 and then you got back 60, you haven't won. You're still down $40. Well, that's essentially where the MAGAT administration is. Oh, but they're winning. They're so, so winning. Wait, this is a cowbell. Jimmy says, where did they find the documents? In Benghazi? Hey, you know it. Oh, and speaking of media, multimillionaire media clowns, first Tucker Carlson, and now, before airtime, I had a note from Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. Can we please get Chuck Todd fired? He actually asked out loud with a straight face in his own voice if Joe Biden was taking a deadly virus, which is a global pandemic that has killed 228,000 plus in this country alone, too seriously. Because Biden wants a gasp mask mandate. And to help people and small businesses hurt by the shutdowns from the orange asshole regime's lack of a response. What the fuck? Says Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. Well, there's never, I don't think the jury's out anymore. I think most everybody on planet Earth, including maybe even Chuckles' sainted mama, if she's still about, knows that he is a neo-maxi Zoom dweeby. Yeah. But I just kind of wonder what it's like on the set there when Joke Toad says something like that. Is there mass cringing going on? It's almost impossible that there wouldn't be. Taking it too seriously. Yeah. Silent R. Lamar says, pulling hair off my head where there is none. Sorry, Bob, I have to administer a butt plug because I'm tired of Trump followers trying to blow smoke up my ass. Wait a minute. Hunter is in a family that has been in the government for years. Biden's son knows any device can be traced to the owner and material on the hard drive can be retained and maybe by a former government employee. You make three copies of it for safety. Oh, how stupid can we be? Well, it's not how stupid can we be, it's how stupid do they think we are. And it's not even how stupid do they think we are, it's how stupid are they sure the maggots are. One example. For a little while, on Twitter this morning, everybody was talking about, and I couldn't imagine why, Jay Cutler. If you follow the NFL, you know that Jay Cutler was a disastrous quarterback for the Chicago Bears, et cetera, et cetera. But lo and behold, white letters on a red background, and it was all about how he, Jay Cutler, had met Donald Trump many times and knew Donald Trump and that he, Donald Trump, or that he, Jay Cutler, was endorsing Donald Trump. And at the bottom, it was signed Jay Cutler. It said, "Through the years, I have been blessed to personally know several presidents on both sides of the aisle. All were good people. All loved their country, and all believed in the American dream. I've had the privilege over the last 3.5 years to get to know our current president a little more as his term has progressed. I've been very disappointed at what he's had to put up with from many directions, but with that, I've seen a resolve and a determination to do the right thing for our country. He's delivered on his promises. He's worked for the average person. In my opinion, he's been more diverse than any president I've seen and has tried to help people from all walks of life, equally. I'm just a guy from Ohio in a Midwestern middle-class family whose grandfathers both worked on the railroad. They've been working on the railroad all the livelong day." Yep. "They gave their son, my father, the opportunity to pursue his education and his American dream. I was taught strong family values and worked hard to pursue my own dreams, my own American dream. I also believe that Donald Trump's policies will bring the American dream to many families across the nation who are still trying to achieve it. You might not like the way our president says or tweets some things, and trust me, I've told him that. But I've learned to look past that and focus on what he's tried to accomplish. This is not a personality contest. It's about patriotism, policies, and people they impact. His love for America and its citizens. Blah, 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 blah." And, of course, there was this just tsunami of mockery of Jay Cutler. Imagine my surprise then, a little bit later, and down at the all in red, and down at the bottom, the prints in white, and down at the bottom, it's signed Jay Cutler. So imagine my surprise a little bit later when I saw the red box, and I clicked, oh, I said, here's that Jay Cutler thing again. And I read through it, and the language, just exactly as I just read it to you. "Then I strongly recommend you consider Donald J. Trump for another 4 years. I certainly have, and have already cast my vote for him. Jay Cutler." Only this time, it's all the same words, and at the bottom it says Jack Nicklaus. Huh? What? So, in answer to, sort of in answer to that rhetorical question, how stupid do they think we are? They think the maggots are so stupid that they can use the identical language for Jay Cutler and Jack Nicklaus, right down to the two men working on the railroad all the livelong day. And the maggots will just go, "Well, I'll be damned. I'll tell you what, that Jay Cutler, Marveline, that Jay Cutler and that Jack Nicklaus sure do have a lot in common. I wonder if they're kinfolk." That's how stupid they think the maggots are. Wow. And Megan says, "I hate Chuck Todd with the fire of a thousand suns. Seriously, why is he even on TV anymore? He's dumber than a brick and has all the personality of a saltine." Leave the saltines out of it. There is nothing that among simple pleasures in life, a saltine with a little schmear of peanut butter is among the great ones. And while we're at it, can we get rid of Terry Moran on Good Morning America, too? Megan, I'm going to put you in charge of this. Get the pink slips rolling out, would you? I mean, that's so Bush League. Amazing. Silent R. Lamar says, again, I'm reaching for hair on my head that isn't there. After reading Jay Cutler talking about Trump, and you wonder why some people want abortion. Jesus, Silent R. Yeah, I know. I know. A little jingle for Silent R there. Yeah. Merciful God. Regarding Fucker Carlson, Brother Deacon Asa says, I call bullshit on the entire episode. If a filthy maggot is nothing, it's complete bullshit. There was never a goddamn package to begin with. UPS will say anything as long as it furthers the cause of the administration that's working to definitively gut the entire United States Postal Service. You can call me a hopeless, cynical bastard all you want. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, and I don't blame you. So, nope, I'm not going to call you anything, Brother Deacon Asa, except that, after last night and me explaining how it was that Trump didn't have the Rona, And that's 2020. Everything is believable and nothing is believable. As to the Hunter Biden conspiracy theories, NBC News has reported, Ben Collins and Brandy Zadrozny, those documents that Tucky was braying about. Tucky rhymes with cucky. Wait, there's a Cucky Jerry story, too. In a minute. But according to Ben Collins and Brandy Zadrozny at NBC News, those smoking hot documents actually came from somebody who wasn't even an actual real no-kidding person. And the face associated with the fake person were generated by an AI, the face-creating program. And the fake documents with the fake face-generated face came from an actual fake intelligence firm known as Typhoon Investigations. NBC News, the story, reporting the author of the document, a self-identified Swiss security analyst named Martin Aspen, is a fabricated identity, according to an analysis by disinformation researchers who also concluded that Aspen's profile picture was created with an artificial intelligence face generator. The intelligence firm that Aspen lists as his previous employer told NBC News that no one by that name had ever worked for their company, and no one by that name lives in Switzerland, according to public records and social media searches. And then along comes a dude named Christopher Balding, who first posted the Hunter Biden document, who, under questioning, said, according to the NBC News story, despite the document's questionable authorship and anonymous sourcing, its claims that Hunter Biden has a problematic connection to the Communist Party of China have been used by people who oppose the Chinese government, as well as by far-right influencer to baselessly accuse candidate Joe Biden of being beholden to the Chinese government. Well, Christopher Balding actually admitted that he wrote parts of the document, and went on to say, no, the Aspen guy? No. Aspen? Really? No. A Swiss guy named Aspen? He doesn't exist. And all of this goes back to Rudy Giuliani and Steve Bannon, who have tried to make something out of a giant nothing burger. And it even goes all the way back to the impeachment, because that is part of what Nitwit Nero was trying to arm twist the president of Ukraine over. Again, from the NBC story, the fake intelligence document preceded the leak by months and helped lay the groundwork among far right wing media for what would become a failed October surprise, a viral pile on of conspiracy theories about Hunter Biden and a laptop forgotten in a seedy computer repair store in Delaware, whose contents, somehow or another, found their way from the seedy computer repair store to Ukraine, and to then into the hands of Rudy Giuliani. They're not good at this. Ron in Raleigh says, do you think that the people of Iran are happy to be starving to death under a Trump-Pompeo sanctions regime? These bastards have blocked Iran's access to the international banking community. I think their potential wasn't being met.
He sees potential in everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. There's only one way out of this. I mean, it's just a fact. And Joe Biden is the way out. Damn. Now, the subject line, letter of support, Lee in New York says, ooh, Mr. Kincaid, I found this in an opened package. Dear Mr. Carter, my son Juan has known many presidents, all the way back to President Polk, that the school is named for. Please allow Juan to share Donald Trump's support for the Sweat Hogs with the rest of the school. Thank you, signed, Epstein's mother. There's never a bad time for an old welcome back, Carter, Epstein's mother joke. There just isn't. Billable Rick, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler was known to be one of the most fumble-prone quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. His ability to throw interceptions was only surpassed by his fumble-rooskies, and he constantly frustrated we long-suffering Bears fans. Jay has obviously fumbled once again in using a form letter to endorse COVID Caligula. Well, at least he didn't throw an interception. Or did he? Wow. Wow. So we've reached the halfway mark of the program, and God knows... Cucky Jerry. Because, of course, Cucky Jerry. Cucky Jerry is now suing Falwell U. Mm-hmm. Cucky Jerry is now suing the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, universiti, institution of higher learning, Larnin, that he used to head. He claims that his reputation was horribly damaged because the board there at Falwell U, FU for short, actually believed credible evidence about Cucky Jerry sitting in a chair, I don't know, naked. Maybe there were some leathers, maybe there was a gimp mask, maybe there was a ball gag, who knows. Sitting in a chair while a young, hot man provided some love to his apparently femdom wife, Becca. Yes, Cucky Jerry is gonna have his day in court because he says all of that wasn't true, but they believed it. Because it seemed so believable or something. Oh, I really want this. I can't wait for discovery in this case. Because they may be good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals there at the board of FU. But they're also very much concerned with the ability of FU to go on being a wildly financially successful going concern. And so they're going to want to do some discovery on Cucky Jerry's little lawsuit. And it's going to be real hard. Don't say real hard, Bob. That was the problem. It's going to be difficult for Cucky Jerry to have those proceedings sealed. Because there are photographs. And a certain lawyer, ex-lawyer, a certain convict by the name of Michael Cohen may actually have a copy or two of those. Might be interesting to see what would happen if, say the FU board decided to issue a subpoena duces tecum to Michael Cohen for any photographs that he might have of Jerry, Cucky Jerry, or Sexy Becky. I'll be watching that. Maybe put an alert down for myself to remember to check back in on that from time to time. I mean, damn, here we are. This is Wednesday. No, this is Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 5 days. There's only 5 days left until the end of the election. Shouldn't Cucky Jerry be out on the hustings for his god emperor? Shouldn't he be out there beating the evangelical Bushes? Maybe you shouldn't spit it that way. Stories like this are just a linguistic minefield, you know. But shouldn't he be out there telling everybody about how much God and Jeebus love them some Donald Trump? And how Donald Trump is going to lead America back to a time of moral integrity and get all of this rampant homosexual sexy time out of and make America great again. And I mean, shouldn't he? Shouldn't he? I mean, you'd kind of think he should. Yow. But I'm sure there will be more on the Cucky Jerry story. If we're lucky, lots and lots more. Anyway, we're a little past the halfway mark of the program. Let's check in with Brad and Desi and see if they've got a report on Hurricane Zeta, shall we?
It's Thursday, October 29, 2020.
It was rapidly intensifying when it made landfall.
Hurricane Zeta slams into Louisiana, its fifth storm in a single season. Logging begins in pristine Tongass National Forest.
Thanks, Donald Trump.
China vaults ahead of U.S. on international climate pledge.
Thanks, Donald Trump.
Plus,
we are facing planetary emergencies like climate change with effectively no time left on the clock.
Thanks, Donald Trump.
The case for court reform to protect climate legislation.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Nice trucks. You think I could hop into one of them and drive it away? I'd love to just drive the hell out of here.
Yes, sir. Please, can I get the door for you? Do you need any snacks? Just go.
And take all the fossil fuel trucks with you.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen. I think this is our last Green News Report before Election Day.
Yes, it is.
So make it a good one.
Okay. First up, Hurricane Zeta slammed into the beleaguered Louisiana coast as a Category 2 on Wednesday night, with wind speeds just 1 mile shy of official Category 3 status. Zeta set a new all-time record for Louisiana as the fifth named storm to make landfall in the state in a single hurricane season, all driven by record warm ocean waters. Also, some survivors of earlier hurricanes, Laura and Delta, are still without shelter or aid.
So they're still recovering from two previous hurricanes, and now a third one's come ashore.
Yes.
Great.
Zeta is the strongest hurricane to hit New Orleans since Hurricane Katrina. Zeta is generating high winds, storm surge, heavy rain, tornadoes, and widespread power outages across several states as it moves inland. And there is still a month to go in the historic 2020 Atlantic hurricane season.
So it's not a matter of the category, the wind speeds per se. It's a matter of the amount of water that is going to get dumped in Louisiana.
Yes. In other news, Senate Republicans on Monday rammed through the confirmation of new Associate Justice Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Who?
A week before the presidential election, expanding the Republicans' stolen right-wing majority, which has been increasingly dismissive of federal agency authority to set environmental regulations. In her rushed confirmation hearings, Barrett dodged questions on the established science on climate change. Several climate and environmental lawsuits are on the court's docket this year, including whether state lawsuits holding the fossil fuel industry liable for the cost of climate damages can be moved to federal courts where they're likely to be blocked.
You're too nice to say it, but her comments at that confirmation hearing made clear that Amy Coney Barrett is a climate science denier.
On a recent broadcast, Aaron Belkin of the nonprofit Take Back the Court explained why his group supports expanding and rebalancing the U.S. Supreme Court and the federal judiciary after years of Republican court packing in order to protect future climate legislation.
We are facing planetary emergencies like climate change with effectively no time left on the clock, and this court is highly unlikely to allow the next president to deal with those emergencies. All the legislation, all the executive orders, all the agency regulations, those are going to be at risk in a Biden administration, and the courts will have a Biden administration in handcuffs on day one.
That's true, if there is a Biden administration.
True. Meanwhile, man-made global warming accelerates. Year-to-date, January to September 2020 was the warmest January to September ever in recorded history since record-keeping began in the 1880s. That is according to NASA. The five hottest January to Septembers have all occurred in the last 5 years. Up in the Arctic, Arctic sea ice is at a record low for October. After a summer that saw polar temperatures topping 100 degrees Fahrenheit, Arctic scientists are alarmed that sea ice is failing to refreeze off of the coast of Siberia. Mounting scientific evidence suggests that loss of Arctic sea ice plays a major role in extreme weather events by slowing down the jet stream that moves weather systems around the planet. In Alaska, logging began on Thursday in the public's pristine Tongass National Forest after the Trump administration stripped away protections, including the roadless rule that had safeguarded one of the world's largest intact temperate rainforests. It's also a primary absorber of U.S. carbon emissions.
You know, when I said this was the last GNR before Election Day, make it a good one, I guess I should have said, make it a good news one.
Well, finally, there is a bit of good news.
Finally?
In a major shift, China has announced it will stop releasing carbon emissions within 40 years, a surprise increase that vaults China ahead of the U.S. in climate ambitions under the Paris Climate Accord. This week, Japan and South Korea also announced higher targets. Both of those countries are aiming for net zero emissions by 2050. All three are major importers of fossil fuels. The announcements mark a big shift in international climate relations.
All I can say at this point is please go vote. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I always get a kick out of the Green News Report. Brad and Desi have been doing this about as long as we've been doing the horn, maybe a little bit longer, and there's none better at what they do. So, by the way, thanks to Cecilia. I got a notification during the Green News Report. Fundraising goal's down to $375. $75 gets us down to just today and tomorrow to finish the week and the month. Thank you so much, Cecilia. Darlene just sent in a link from In Style magazine. This is a beautiful moment. There's nothing that, and they, you know, the maggots can't learn. That's one of the truisms to all of this. They can get thumped, they can get beaten, but they never learn. They're kind of like those lab rats in the cocaine experiment who would go back and you know, they were never satisfied. and the rats would go back and lick or gnaw or whatever at the little cube of Coke until their little heart, their little mouse hearts just exploded and they died. Well, that doesn't happen with the maggots, but you would think after being schooled by and abused by and made fools of by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that they would stop screwing around with her. If you're a maggot, it's never going to end well. And so here we go again with the white wing obsession with the clothing that that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wears. Now, bear in mind, seldom, I mean, it happens maybe once in a great while, seldom is, Democrat or Republican, seldom is a male member of Congress's fashion choice questioned. Oh, sure, we had hissy fits about haircuts, both Bill Clinton and John Edwards, but that, you know, and yeah, to make a shitty, snarky remark about, Bernie Sanders's sartorial choices is, well, it's a cliche. But it's a different story if you are a young, beautiful, fantastically intelligent woman, the youngest ever elected to Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And so she gave an interview to Vanity Fair, and they put her on the cover. And when the cover photograph was released, zong! The entire right-wing nutosphere went wild. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda went wild. The New York Post had the kittens with crocheted tails. Because, oh my God, no. For the photo shoot at Vanity Fair, which is kind of a fashion-forward magazine, you know, she wore a $14,000 outfit. No. Yes. Fox with their hissy. She attacks President Trump for not paying his taxes, but there she is in a $14,000 outfit. Well, here's the funny part. As Laura Ingraham jumped in, AOC appears in Vanity Fair in outfits worth $14,000 to curse out Trump. It didn't end well for Laura Ingraham because, well, AOC dog walked her for a bit. She quote tweeted Laura Ingraham, AOC appears in Vanity Fair in outfits worth $14,000 to curse out Trump. And she quote tweeted and said, 100% worth it, would do again. And then went on to dog walk her. Oh, and I don't know if you've been in a photo shoot, Laura. No. Laura Ingraham cannot appear in front of camera lenses or mirrors. But you don't keep the clothes. The whole she wore clothes in a magazine, let's pretend they're hers gimmick, is the classic Republican strategy of let's willfully act stupid, and if the public doesn't take our performative stupidity seriously, then we'll claim bias. GOP, get yourselves together. It's sad. Performative. That's beautiful. Our performative stupidity. I gotta award a cowbell for performative stupidity. That's a lovely phrase. And she went on. And as Darlene in Connecticut points out, this tweet is mint. Republicans are very mad again about my appearance. This time they're mad that I look good in borrowed clothes. Again. Listen, if Republicans want pointers on looking your best, I'm happy to share. Tip one, drink water and don't be racist.
Ooh! How dare that little brown girl wear nice clothing that only white women's should be wearing?
God, that's just magnificent. As Dave number 11 points out, how to say this? AOC is easy on the eyes. Yeah, she's beautiful. And I don't think it's sexist or misogynistic or anything like that to say so. She is a beautiful... No, let's reverse that. She is a fantastically intelligent, beautiful woman. Let's put the intelligent first. I'm trying to learn here. But God, she's got a wit that won't quit.
Such a wit that will not quit.
Oh, my goodness. I think maybe we could put that to the backbeat of Too Legit to Quit. These ideas, they just run through. But yeah, I think on our side, we're slowly learning to stop doing this stuff. And it's been a long learning curve. And there are still some weird things that live in the gray spaces, but we're not going to go into that right now. But damn. Quit. For fuck's sake, quit, please. Messing with AOC. You keep reaching out to try to smack her, and you keep pulling back a bloody stump.
Mister, I thought you said your dog didn't bark. Didn't bite.
Ain't my dog. Wrong joke, but really. But they can't learn. Because these are the same people that send out statements signed by two different athletes of vastly different ages that are verbally identical. Jesus. Ugh. Let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, yo, happy Thursday, Bob. It's me, Reggie from Decatur, Georgia, coming at you once again.
Hey, Reggie, what's up, my friend?
Yeah, like you said, they keep trying to bitch slap AOC twice and hard, and she keeps bitch slapping them back, plus they leave with bloody stumps for wrists and arms, man. They need to quit it. They need to quit it, man. They just need to quit it. Why are you attacking her now?
Oh, I know. And brother Deacon Asa just came up with the perfect answer. At least she was wearing clothes for the photo shoot, you maggots. You know, as opposed to melanoma. And I guess Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is just too damn civilized to say that, but it's true.
Smart.
Yeah, but I mean, Laura Ingraham, as opposed to what? I mean, at least I was wearing clothes, unlike the first lady.
Yeah, and like you said, Laura Ingraham can't. She's like Dracula. She can't be photographed, and she has no reflection in the mirror. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you got the joke. That makes me ever so happy.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you. And why don't these people get off her ass? Stop trying to bully her, because she'll bully you right back. She's a girl from the Bronx. You don't want to fuck with them. You know? Why can't you just get off her ass and leave her the hell alone?
Exactly.
They would never, you know, boy, they won't sleep. She won't sleep with them? You know, if she was a bisexual, she won't sleep with either side, you know, man or woman. She won't sleep with him. I mean, she's my ultimate fangirl fantasy. But, you know, why she won't sleep with him? Do they, I hate to sound pornographic, but do they masturbate and jack off when they see her, but they can't get their hands on her because she's already been...
Hold on, Reggie. You just ruined dinner in two or three different time zones, and I think possibly Billable Rick's snack, too. Because you have conjured up the image of some filthy old, pustle-gutted, pasty, pale, doughy white old congressman pounding away. I may not eat for a week.
You mean like a turtle? I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, don't compare me to turtles either. Yeah.
No, I meant like them, like those guys, him and Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I'm sure that Laurie and those Fox News Fox bots wish they only had half of either her beauty or intelligence. They wish they had both. Because at least AOC doesn't sit up there wearing a cocktail dress, as Randy Rose would say, wearing cocktail dresses, just sit there and look beautiful with their legs and their high heels crossed, or those clear heel shoes that some of them wear as if they got from female porn stars or strippers. And, you know, and to quote James Brown, they're talking loud, but they ain't saying nothing. You know what I mean?
There we go. No, like, there's never a bad time for a James Brown quote.
Right. There's a, you know, they look like caribou Malibu Barbies, and she doesn't look like either one. And she thinks for herself. In other words, that's being independent. She's not robotic or controlled by their puppeteers. You know what I mean? She's not like them. And she's not jealous of anybody either. So they need to stop messing with her, because, like you said, they'll wind up with bloody stumps for wrists and arms, man. And why can't they focus on something more relevant and important as opposed to her? Did they say this about Nancy or Hillary?
Yes, they said all kinds of nasty stuff about Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton. But if you attack anyone on their side, they have a purple polka dotted blue screaming hissy. I mean,
they say you. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Joni Ernst and her, you know, her hog D baller and wearing bread bags on her shoes because she grew up so poor that she had to eat mustard sandwiches for lunch and walked 15 miles to school uphill both ways in Iowa. Yeah, you can't criticize her or Marsha Blackburn. Goodness.
Right. God knows,
you can't talk about how weird it is for a woman who's been put onto the Supreme Court to be running around calling herself a handmaid.
What? A handmaid? That sounds like a movie. A handmaid? What did she?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, Amy Toney's parrot is, she's part of a cult that refers to the female leaders as handmaids.
Why would she do that?
Because she's in a cult.
I forgot. A mind-controlled cult. It's not the Illuminati, is it? That's not that, is it?
I think it's the Bohemian Grove.
Oh, God. Well, she's been programmed, and controlled. And if you attack, Sarah Palin or Melania, you know, or Kim Lee Gargoyle, as I mentioned before.
Yes.
They'll pass out, and you have to get smelling salts to revive them. You know? I mean, why can't the attackers get away with it? But we
have a plum conniption, yeah. Well, you know, Jeremy just dropped a note, Reggie, and says, Jeremy says, Reggie has a point. Can't you just see Mitch staring at an AOC picture with his eyes bulging in an excited way while his thirsty, nasty little beak moves up and down? Hey, I'm just reading it. You know, don't take it out on me. Don't blame me for ruining dinner. Sorry about breakfast, Joy, in Ann Arbor. Yeah.
Right. Well, Rudy Giuliani, you know, who wishes that he could have any of those girls on Fox News, you know, the Fox bot, you know, described to you earlier. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them sound like, I don't know, strippers or female porn stars. You know, the name, like Ainsley Earnhardt, you know? And, you know, I mean, AOC's not bothering anybody of the way she looks or how she dresses. She's supposed to dress professionally and appropriately.
Yeah,
what
sure.
What do they want her to do? Come out wearing a bikini?
No. They want her to wear a dress made out of an old flour sack.
Or a potato sack. Yeah, okay. And like that's going
no
to
onion
that's
bags. No onion bags, okay? Just don't even don't even go there.
Yeah, but that's not a professional nor fashionable. We wouldn't tell their women to wear potato sacks, would we? Oh, well, would we? No, we wouldn't. No, we would not. We would not tell their women to wear potato sacks.
No.
And, you know, they're jealous, right? I think those women are jealous of her look and intelligence. Right, Bob? They're jelly. They're the green-eyed monsters. They wish they looked half as good or as intelligent as she is. Right? Am I right or am I crazy, Bob?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think you're right there.
Yeah, they're jealous. That's all. They're jealous. I mean, because she doesn't come out, you know, looking half-assed, if you know what I mean. You know, like she's half asleep or something. You know. And that she rushed out of the house, throwing on anything she could find. I mean, she's in Congress, for God's sake. She has to dress appropriately, as do the rest of them. I mean, what if you know?
But you kind of missed the point, Reggie. It doesn't matter what she does. Whatever she does will be wrong, according to the maggot media. And the reason they do this is because she so infuriates them, because there is no way. Well, she will be in that seat in the Bronx or in the, well, parts of the Bronx, parts of Brooklyn, parts of Queens.
Yeah.
She'll be in that seat as long as she wants to be, because nobody will vote for a Republican in that district, because nobody's that stupid in that district. They'll never give that seat to a Republican.
Right. Or until her term is over, right?
As long, like I just said, as long as she will be there as long as she wants to be.
Good. I hope she does stay there as long as she wants to be.
I mean, every now and then I will see some mention of the idea of her challenging Chuck Schumer in the primary in New York. And while I'm generally not in favor of primarying incumbent Democrats, that is an exception that I would be willing to make. If she had the numbers that suggested that she could take out Chuck Schumer, I'd be behind her all the way. But we learned an important lesson about privileged upstarts challenging established incumbents in what happened in Massachusetts when Joe Kennedy challenged Ed Markey.
Right. And Bob, what would they say if Melanoma herself was on there on that exact same magazine cover giving an interview wearing the most expensive clothes and jewelry she could find? You know?
Yeah. And Darlene in Connecticut says, or Kelly Loeffler, you know, that horrible woman from Georgia. But Darlene says, Reggie's right, though. All those Repiglick and straight men in the Congress would love to get AOC in the sack, including that asshole Yoho who verbally assaulted her on the Capitol steps. And that's absolutely true. This is born of lust and resentment and hatred.
Right.
Lee in New York says Republicans want her to dress like their ideal woman. You know, a handmaid.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, she's not going to do that.
No, but that's what they're fantasizing about. And listen, Reggie, before this gets any grosser, I'm gonna roll on, man. You take care of yourself. Did any of that storm last night? I know it blew perilously close to Steve in Georgia. Stan, did it get close to you there in Decatur?
Yeah, but it didn't. It didn't knock off our power. It almost did, but it didn't. That's thanks to the good Lord and his only son and all the angels upstairs up there in heaven watching over us to make sure that didn't happen. So, no, we had power. It didn't go off, period.
Good. Well, listen, Reggie, you take care of yourself, my friend.
Right. And please tell these people to leave her alone. Leave AOC alone. She's done nothing to nobody and no one. She's only trying to live.
Yeah, well, no, but she has. But Reggie, she has done something to them. She has reminded them of their persistent and incurable inadequacies, and it makes them crazy.
And they need to go. And they need to go seek professional help for that. I'm sure there's cures for that. If they just go and seek it and take some highly advanced medications for that.
I imagine there is maybe some kind of medicine for that. Yeah.
I hope they get prescribed to it by their doctor and take it every day because they're going to need it. They're going to need it.
Ask your doctor if Levaoc Alonitol is right for you. Reggie, you take care of yourself, right. My friend. Be good.
Yeah, and she doesn't let them bully her or be bullied or intimidated by her. Like
right, and that drives them crazy because they can't.
Girl from the Bronx.
They can't stand no mouthy woman. Right.
Yeah,
no.
Or an independent one.
Right.
Right.
Right. All right, Reggie, you take care now.
Yeah. You do too, Bob.
All right, see ya.
You stay warm or cool or whatever.
Dry mostly right now. It's nice and wet from the storm.
Right.
All right, later, man.
Because it's going to get cold next. It's going to get cold next week.
Yes, it is.
I think.
Yes,
it is. It's going to get cold next week.
Right. Winter's coming. We'll talk soon, Reggie. You be good now. Happy Halloween.
Oh, and happy Halloween, okay?
Same to you,
happy
my friend.
Happy Halloween to you, too, Bob.
All right. Bye now.
All right. Man.
Bye. Good folks, Reggie. And let's see. Keeping things moving. Stress line is clear now, if you want to get in that way. And let's go check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm
Zach.
Yeah. What?
Ed Luce.
Ed Luce. Oh, yes, absolutely, Ed. How are you?
Oh, just dropped Larry K off at the pub. You know, we go down to the Elephant and Castle every day.
Wow, you know the Elephant and Castle?
Well, it's English, ain't it? Larry, you know, yes, I have at least 5 martinis.
I thought it was a chain, but I used to frequent the one on Pennsylvania Avenue. No, Constitution. I used to frequent the one on Constitution Avenue in D.C. And what I loved, their pretzels were amazing with this beer, this stone ground beer mustard.
Yes. Elephant Castle. Come on, I like the ambiance.
Yeah, it was. Another place I probably we'll never go back to because who knows when we're going to get back to D.C.
That's unfortunate. You know, they had a nice John Harbour's brew house, too, right near the end of where the museums are, 13th and Pennsylvania. It was nice and peaceful.
Oh, wow. I don't remember ever seeing that place. I'll have to check it out next time because, there will be. There will be a next time.
There'll be a next time. I was just trying to do my Ed Luce imitation.
I thought it was respectable.
All right. Well, that's good. Oh, just a couple of things. But first, before I forget, while I have you on the line, you know, you've gotten to the point like a master guitarist can speak with the guitar. It appears that you're able to speak with the cowbell now.
Oh, wow. That's a neat concept.
Think about it. I can't be the only one who, you know.
The cowbell carries its own message.
Well, when something's really funny or profound, you know, you give it that vigorous, you know. And the opposite, which cracks me up, which I love, is that slow roll where it's cha-ching, da-ding. You know, like, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, that's for when the cow's not particularly excited and it's just kind of going, I don't know, you know, kind of bobbing its head, you know, I don't know.
See, when you first got the cowbell, you didn't have that, the ability yet. You know, now you got the skill.
No, I had to grow into it, Todd.
I cannot be the only one who hears this. It's like I'm telling you, you're speaking through that cowbell. You know how you give the kids the trophy for participation?
Sure.
That's the slow one. That's like, okay, well, I want to leave you hanging. So.
Yes, and you showed up for practice too, Johnny.
Well, I just wanted to ask you a couple questions here.
Okay.
All right. So, well, first of all, I'm not feeling good about these polls. I'm really not.
I'm going to be nervous as a whore in church until this thing is settled.
Talking about 2 and 3 points here and there, and then this is within the margin of error.
Well,
right?
I mean, you heard me and Steve talking about it last night, right? And the one thing I did not understand is it can be on the low end on one side and on the high end on the other. I thought once, oh Jesus.
Well, so it really is supposed to be uniform on both sides, exactly.
I mean, I thought that, but right. No, apparently not.
No, that's statistics. It is. It has to be. That's just the way it is. You can't make up new shit. Come on. No. Maybe they were misrepresenting. Who was saying that?
No, I mean, it was in my conversation with Steve last night. We were using the hypothetical of a 3% margin of error, and let's say it's 50-40. Well, it can actually be 47-43.
Right. Well, what that means, right? Because what it means,
because the
is
3% you lose on one end, on you gain
sides.
On the other.
So
right.
50-40 is 43. Is 37 on the bottom end, and 43 on the top end for that
right.
side.
Right. And the other side is 47 on the low end and 53 on the top. So can it be 53-37? Apparently, yes. I knew one of these days I'd regret never taking statistics.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. It can. But that usually doesn't happen. But it can. But 3% margin of error is, if you can get that, you're flying. You're flying high. Like that is, that was part of my previous career. So I'm just saying that. Like you have to. 3.5 is usually that's what you strive for, because that's hard enough to get. You need about 1,000 reliable participants to attain a 3.5.
But on the up above 4%, and you're approaching invalidity, aren't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's just a parlor game at that point.
And Brother Deacon Asa makes a good point. He says, margin of error, you numbers people, just damn it. Margin of error is always on the wrong side when you're talking about a pig fucker. They lie.
Exactly. Now, we've talked about this, too. See, the shame factor, this is not normal survey research that we're dealing with now, because one candidate represents all types of volatile, well, I guess to a lot of people, both candidates do, but more so for, the Trump side. It represents gay rights, it represents status quo, white supremacy. It's just all these issues are loaded. Like I said before, we're not talking about do you like, dislike, or are you ambivalent toward peanut butter and jelly versus the ham and cheese? Which one do you like? It's not that type of question. It's not that type of issue. And people will, self-reported data. People are ashamed. They're ashamed. They don't want to talk about it. They're going to do it. We have couples who are families, couples. But we have to come to terms with the fact that this whole experiment, this political experiment right now between these two candidates and this administration is a lot like a varnish remover, like acetone. We just poured acetone on everyone. Now it's just bare. This is it. This is who you are. Because, let's just be honest. This is right against wrong. And I'm biased, obviously, but if you don't believe in America, you believe in Trump, if you understand what's going on.
Well, it's like something I said a couple of months ago. You can have decency, or we can have decency, or we can have Donald Trump. We cannot have both.
Can't have both.
Those two things cannot exist in the same space, in the same universe.
And yet you hear these folks saying, well, he never got a fair chance yet. They've been out to get him from the beginning. While he's been super authoritarian, you know, it's fascinating. But we have to come to terms that the folks who are with him, it is like a cult, or maybe not for some people, but they just, you know, that's part of their value system. It's their comfort zone. Otherwise, they wouldn't be backing him. There's too much information out now. It's too much. I didn't call to dwell on that, but it's just fascinating.
Well, no, I think you're right. You did, but I'm glad you did call, because I feel bad about not having done enough coverage of the police murder of Walter Wallace Jr. And that, you know, that has potential, or that has potential to, I think, impact the election to a certain degree. I'm not sure how or who more on one side or the other in the brutally important Philadelphia area. And probably
I do not disagree with you in one. No, I don't disagree with you at all. Do you want to state why?
Well, I mean, it's another sickening story of why, you know, and this is, you know, this is where we run the risk of, you know, losing people in the wider world. But when you hear people involved with issues of social justice talking about defunding the police, an element of that is to stop asking the police to do things police are not trained for and have no idea how to do.
Exactly.
Walter Wallace Jr. was mentally ill. He was bipolar. He was in the middle of an event. His wife, pregnant, and they had been having trouble with him for a while. The cops had been shown up a couple of times previously, and family called because he had become dangerous. Okay, I mean, it happens. It's real. And in a country that is largely clueless for how to deal with mental illness on a broad basis, in terms of you know coverage and access, these things happen way too much. And so the cops show up, Walter Wallace Jr. And it goes without saying, he's an African-American man. The family calls and says, please send an ambulance.
Right.
They send the cops instead. Walter Wallace Jr. is outside, and he has a knife. And they draw down on him, the cops do, and they say, drop the knife, bang, 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 bang. Only a hell of a lot more bangs.
That's it up, right.
I mean, it's a miracle that they didn't carry Walter Wallace away in individual pieces for the number of rounds that were fired at him.
Preach it.
And Nitwit Nero runs out and says, I'm ready to send the federal troops to Philly. Yeah, he can't wait to send the little green goons to Philly for some voter suppression.
We're on the same. We're totally on the same page. Everything you've said, we're on the same page. I don't think that this coherent, cogent explanation is out there powerfully enough.
And so, for two straight nights, there were protests, as well one might expect.
Mm-hmm.
There was some property damage. As usual, we really don't know who did it. Because the lesson we've learned from, among other places, Minneapolis, is that when legitimate protest forms around another police killing of a young black man, the Boogaloo Boys and the Proud Boys will be more than happy. You know, Patriot Front, the rest of those, the three percenters, the Oath Keepers, those dirtbags will be more than happy. They're more than eager to show up. And then they go about doing the violence. They're the ones that fire guns into police precincts. They're the ones that firebomb auto parts stores. They're the ones that set fire to police precincts.
I'm glad you brought that up.
And the for-profit media, it, of course, both siderisms it. And with no insight whatsoever into why there might be agent provocateur inside the events.
And you're reading my mind.
And as Jeremy in Vermont points out, they shot the man 14 fucking times. What one bullet to the arm or leg wouldn't have stopped him? Yeah.
But again,
the other part of that is when you know when there's a hail of bullets, you know, it goes all the way back to the history of handgun development in this country. The 45 was developed to kill Asian insurgents in the Philippines. The 357 Magnum round, which is a 38 caliber bullet sitting on top of a goddamn spaceship's worth of powder, for all intents and purposes. The 357 Mag was developed, I have read, to put down wild-eyed black men who won't simply die when you shoot them with a 38. And so that's how you get the hail of bullets. One cop fires, every cop fires, because that's another way that they cover for each other. It's the same mindset that, here I go again, oh God, Bob's going to say something about Rome. Yes, it's the same mindset that attended the assassination of Julius Caesar.
Ooh.
Because when the killers went after Caesar, it was clear that every one of the conspirators had to sink the knife into him.
So that they would all be responsible
and they could all claim they were doing their patriotic duty. And so if you've got a whole bunch of cops firing bullets, then all the cops can say, well, he fired. You know, my brother officer was under threat. I defended him and myself. Meanwhile, the guy they blow away has to get within inches of you with his deadly dangerous knife. There is no point in time when even one of those officers in Philly was even remotely threatened.
That's what I think. I mean, when I first saw the video, before I knew the background, I mean, it's one thing to watch a video and don't really know the background, but there's an extensive explanation. Like you said, there, you know, middle America may not understand that was the third time the police had been to that house that day. And the third call was for, you know, medical help. He's off his medication. Something's wrong. The ambulance. And that goes back to what you were saying about when we say defund the police. But really what we mean, and it's just too complicated, is reallocate funds. That's what we really mean.
Exactly.
Those folks like school teachers to be social workers.
Right. It's resource allocation. And you know, part of the Inquirer story says Wallace had been in and out of court for nearly a decade with convictions for crimes, including resisting arrest and robbery. Well, great. Thank you, Philadelphia Inquirer, for including that. But then this sentence. Court records show that city judges routinely sought to get him mental health treatment. So the city judge is sitting there saying, you know, you got to get help. And then the structure, because we have a hopelessly broken healthcare system in this country, says, well, that's great. Need to get your help. All right, we'll take you in for 3 days, and we'll try some meds on you, and maybe they'll work, but your ass is out the door on day three, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't even night. It was broad daylight. It was afternoon.
It was broad daylight. And, you know, and in the if you see the different videos, you had to really go to the local, which I recommend for any crazy story, anything that's really poignant, go to the local paper, you know, after you see the national news. But, you know, more shots, you miss more than you hit usually. But they were so close. See, that's let me go back to the film. If you notice, he was not running and lunging at the officers. I could tell, but maybe that's just me because of my background. But he was agitated. He was actually going left foot, right foot, kind of, you know, I don't know what to do with myself, that type of movement, like a child does. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, he did have a knife, but, you know, just because he had a knife in his hand. And this is the other thing that's messed up. Now, the police commissioner, Outlaw, she said that when she first took over, which was not that long ago, she found out that all the officers do not have tasers. And that's really pathetic. That's awful. But, you know, Mace would have done something. The ambulance should have been there. They could have maced him, you know, take him off his square, mace him, disorient him, and then handcuff him and put him in the ambulance and get him the help he needs. Instead of this murderous behavior. But like you said, they have to cover for each other. But what about, these are row house neighborhoods. You know, when you miss, the bullets, 9mm bullets travel quickly and they bounce off of things. I'm assuming they were using 9mm. I don't know what caliber.
Probably more likely a 40 Smith & Wesson these days, I'm guessing.
Okay.
But there's a problem here. And, wow, that's the understatement of the evening on my part. But the problem here is that this isn't... And I think this is why people get so goddamn frustrated and furious. Last night I was talking about how there are all these things that nobody that should have been fixed, that needed to be fixed, and nobody ever attended to them. Last night I was talking in terms of the Electoral College or that Article 4 Commission in the 25th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the most glaring example, and the whole reason that Black Lives Matter exists, is because we have been not addressing this problem for, hundreds of years, 400 years. But in our so-called more enlightened times, we have been ignoring it for, anytime I see one of these situations where cops just waste a young black man, and there's a hail of bullets, the first person I always think of is Amadou Diallo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a 23-year-old guy in the Bronx. He'd just come home from a meal. He was doing exactly nothing.
He was doing what he was supposed to do. He was going home.
And well after the fact, the cops who murdered him said, we mistook him for a rape suspect from a year ago. There was never any proof that there was any reality to that claim. But the bottom line is that they fired 41 bullets, these four New York City cops did, plain clothes. They fired 41 shots, and 19 of them went into the body of 23-year-old Amadou Diallo.
Out of 41.
There were criminal charges out of it of second-degree murder and reckless endangerment, and the cops walked on both charges. And for way too long, we've sat and said, well, you know, sometimes the system makes mistakes. As for the officers at trial, they said, Diallo ran up the outside steps toward his apartment house doorway at their approach, ignoring their orders to stop and show his hands. The porch light bulb was out, and Diallo was backlit by the inside vestibule light, showing only a silhouette. Diallo then reached into his jacket and withdrew his wallet. Seeing the man holding a small square object, Carroll yelled, "Gun!" to alert his colleagues. The officers opened fire on Diallo, claiming that they believed he was holding a gun. During the shooting, lead officer McMillan tripped backward off the front stairs, causing the other officers to believe he had been shot. However, a witness testified they shot with no warning. 41 shots from semi-automatic pistols. And odds are that if they were Glock 9s in 1999, and they probably were, each one of those pistols probably carried no less than 17 rounds. Plus one in the chamber.
Okay.
But 41 divided by 4 is roughly 10 apiece. And so they had each, on average, they fired 10 rounds before they thought they were no longer threatened by the guy with the square gun. You know, because there are so many desperate young black men out there, Todd, carrying square, wallet-shaped guns.
Well, all I say is, you know, there's a phrase in American history, remember the Alamo. I have another phrase. It's called, remember Dylann Roof.
Burger King. You deserve a break. Oh, no, that's McDonald's. Have it your way. Have it your way, Dylann Roof. Have it your way at Burger King.
I'm at a loss to figure that out. I just don't understand. But you know, so, right, we have work to do. Once again, people are not maybe paying attention to history, because most of the uprisings actually start because of police misconduct. Matter of fact, most of them, all of them almost. It's the same old thing. If you watch some of these older documentaries and you understand the history of policing, even C-SPAN has a wonderful library of this. They have a channel called American History TV. And then Real TV, if you search, you can see where around the early 70s in Oakland, they had they were supposed to be the new face of the Oakland Police Department. You know, this is post-Black Panther, because they'd gotten so bad. But, you know, you listen to the people talk, and it's like, my God, that sounds like somebody interviewed yesterday. Things are not changing. They've gotten, we have gotten worse and stagnating, maybe moving backwards at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of white folks, come on, I'm around a lot of white people all the time because of what I do. And, you know, friends, and just because I'm a worldly person. But I listen. I'm a good listener. And a lot of white folks are just tired of hearing about what they perceive as black people crying and whining. You know, all I got to say is to get a job or whatever. They say, well, it wasn't me. I wasn't real. I'm like, well, okay, well, do you go to a black dentist? Do you go to a black internist? How about a psychiatrist? Would you? Well, I said, don't ask me that question. Let's not talk about that then. So, you know, all this phony stuff. Yeah, well, and really, that's the message it has to get out. And maybe someone in the Biden administration, maybe Kamala and Biden himself, whoever knows, I don't know, but get some young blood, some free thinkers in there. And Ocasio-Cortez might be a good networking person, who knows. But we can do better than this. And just because middle America doesn't understand it, you know, you're not going to shoot your way out of this, because people already feel like they have nothing to lose. And I can guarantee you that we are going to have random killings of law enforcement. And I will tell you, because just what do you expect people to do? People have complained, they protested, done everything they can do. and you're dealing with a lot of people who have nothing to lose. And they're not the ones burning up. Now, people may loot, right? They, you know, but that's different than some of these other acts that are being portrayed. But I would like to see, this is what I would like to see. I would like to see, and I think this would work, if law enforcement would do what they ask other folks to do, police themselves, give up some sacrificial lambs. Because we've seen what happened, like with Serpico, right? People have forgotten about that. They cannot continue to act as if they are above the fray. We need to treat them, and they need to be treated like a judge is supposed to be treated, which means beyond reproach, because they do and have been exercising the power of life and death over people on the street. So if they want to engage in that type of behavior, they need to be held to a higher account. It's very simple. Do you see a problem with that?
No, none.
I think that's reasonable. But what we see now, we see pushback. And that's not going to work. That is not going to work. I just don't get it. I don't get it, but they can do better. But since you brought it up too, you know, these legislatures, right? These Republican legislators in these state houses, they have a plan to outwit the interstate compacts in terms of electoral votes. Because you've heard now, right? They plan to just appoint the electors they want who are going to vote a certain way.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And this is going to be a problem. This is what they're hatching. Because, you know, they have to win. And they can do it. Constitutionally, they can do it. So we're in for a rough ride here.
Well, as long as it's 6-3 on the Supreme Court, a Republican can do pretty much anything a Republican wants to do. I mean, there was the story the other day, and it was heartening. It always is when you see the federal district court, you know, the trial court level, getting it right. The federal judge looked at Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr's attempt to intervene in the E. Jean Carroll lawsuit and did everything but laugh it out of court. And he said, No.
The premise was ridiculous. I can't even believe that they would come up with a request of that nature.
Well, the premise is ridiculous unless you know you've already got the votes on the Supreme Court. You know, putting $1,000 on the 10,000-to-1 nag that only has three legs to take, you know, to take first place in a horse race is crazy too. Unless you know the race is fixed. And so we live in a time now where you can look and say, really? He's going to claim the president's an employee? Fuck, he doesn't take salary, right? How many times have we been beaten over the head with that crazy shit? He doesn't take salary, man. That's how much he loves America. And the judge laughed it out of court, and you know what I immediately thought, because that's how I think now, is yeah, the judge laughed it out of court, and they will then appeal it to the D.C. Circuit, or whichever circuit it is, and the three-judge panel of the D.C. Circuit will either agree with the federal district judge or overturn it, depending on what kind of draw you get for the three-judge panel. And if it should happen that the three-judge panel turns out to be maggot-infested, then you'll petition for, you know, then E. Jean Carroll's lawyer will petition for an en banc hearing. The en banc hearing will be granted, and the full panel of the D.C. Circuit will go, what in the fuck? No. And overturn the three-judge panel, you know, the maggot-infested panel. And then it goes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court overturns them both and says, hell no, you can't sue Donald Trump. Donald Trump's our God Emperor. We just checked in. We're all originalists up here, and we just checked in with the ghost of Alexander Hamilton and James Madison and Ben Franklin, and they all said, nope, can't sue the president. Sorry.
You see, between these low-level federal judges that have, many of them are have no experience, and like you said, are like, you know, like 12 years old, you know, the fix is in for quite some time, it appears. It could be.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it's solidifying white supremacy. It looks like it. I mean, it's the last gasp, you know. I mean, you know, we don't care about that. We're just trying to, you know, survive. But, you know, other people worry about that kind of stuff. But that's an issue. But that... And so you brought up the Supreme Court, and I'm going to tell you, this decision by Kavanaugh the other day, when he wanted to, he did disregard the postmark. That the postmark has always been the rule, because you have no control over how long it's going to take that letter, correspondence, whatever, you know, what have you, to get to point B. But you got it to the post office on time. Has that not? Am I wrong here? Isn't the postmark that's been the gold standard?
That's
right?
That's the post office rule. I mean, it's well settled in law for a couple of centuries or so. But yeah, how bad do you have to? And this is in regard to Brett Kavanaugh, who lives in a house that was mysteriously paid for, along with his baseball ticket debts and his hot dogs and his beer.
Preach it.
How big a screw up do you have to be for the Secretary of State of the state of Vermont to make a formal request to the Supreme Court of the United States that the Supreme Court correct a material error, mistake of fact that the Associate Justice has made in claiming that Vermont has not changed voting procedures for the 2020 elections? I mentioned this briefly last night. He claimed and put his signature on a concurring opinion saying that Vermont had done absolutely nothing different during COVID. And the Secretary of State of Vermont got pissed. Jim Condos said, since the state of...
He signed his name to that?
Kavanaugh did. He signed his name to his concurrence, yeah. Claiming that Vermont had done nothing when, in fact, Vermont specifically instructed that absentee ballots be mailed or applications for absentee ballots.
Well, did he not read the briefing or the abstract? He just did what the hell he wanted to do. What's going on here?
No, he just ignored it because, you know, when you're an originalist, what you're doing is you're engaging in ends-based decision-making. You know where you want to get to. You have to make it look like you got there without the fix being in. He wanted to write against the state of Wisconsin being able to extend the deadline for receiving ballots, so he just made some shit up about Vermont, because Vermont changed their procedure. The Secretary of State issued orders to send a mail-in ballot automatically to every registered voter, and they told local election officials to start processing ballots within the 30-day window before the election, so that the counting process wouldn't be slowed down. But that ain't what Kavanaugh said. He said Vermont didn't do anything, so Wisconsin couldn't do anything either. I mean, that's oversimplification, but that was the nature of... And remember how we were told that, oh, he's such a legal scholar. He's a punk-ass little drunk.
This is what I don't get.
Now, how did that get past all the clerks, the legal clerks, the folks that really do the work under
what?
You?
Get past? Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. There's no get past. That was the outcome that was desired. They'll just lie.
He's just using his gravitas. He's just saying, fuck it. I'm a Supreme Court
I'm
judge.
A Supreme Court justice. There are no rules that govern me whatsoever except impeachment.
Jesus, man, no. Fuck that. Not from that asshole. All right, then. You know what? He needs to be under scrutiny. He should have been under. Like you're saying, how did you get your house paid off? Uh-huh. Mysteriously. And then he laughed about the baseball tickets. I'll never forget that. He thought that shit was funny. And he's
but it's what they
like
do.
This?
I mean, you could impeach Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas for how he filled out his disclosure forms. He perjured himself on his disclosure forms. His wife, Jenny, has been an operative for right-wing think tanks, you know, Wingnut Welfare, for years. And he was no sooner on the court than he was filing financial disclosure saying, and there's a question, does your wife have any non-investment income? And she'd been on all kinds of payrolls. And he clicked.
She was a Tea Party activist.
And he Slappy clicked the checked the box and said, nope. And then signed under penalty of perjury.
Well, how are we supposed to have confidence in our Supreme Court?
Well, I don't know who does.
You know, I'm thinking Amy's a lightweight. I don't care all these accolades. There's something wrong with a woman pushing 50 that has the voice of an 11-year-old. Is that her? Is that,
now,
I
now,
mean,
let's
what,
not
what,
talk
what
about
on?
Her voice. We didn't like it when they said that when they talked about Hillary's.
All right, I'm biased. But come on, she was a professor, a lecturer. Can you see her lecturing to a group of students?
Well, no, her students, some of her students spoke out and said, oh, yeah, I had her in class. Oh, yeah. Paid for it, too.
Oh, man. Well, Jesus. I don't know. We have to see what happens. I think that if this administration succeeds in this election, we really have to look at some rank behavior, not rank, but, you know, we have to do what we have to do, you know, politically. And because, you know, they have no morals. You know, it's a shame that you have to play hardball, but that's what we have to do with these folks. Barr has to go. He's just ridiculous. He has to go. He can be impeached.
Yeah, if there's the will to do it, and there isn't right now, and there's no particular point to it.
I see a point.
But, here's one of the interesting things. The Constitution designates specifically the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in cases of impeachment of the president. In cases of impeaching a federal judge or a Supreme Court justice, it is presided over by the President of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So... And in fact, you know, judges have been removed from the bench by impeachment. And when we think about what needs to be accomplished in the coming Congress, if we have control of both houses, it's almost incomprehensible. And the problem is, well. I don't think that's the other difference. I don't think it applies to an impeachment of a judge. You know, when you impeach the president, everything comes to a screeching halt in the Senate. I don't think that's the case with the judge. Now, you still have to convict him by a two-thirds majority. And unless you've got two-thirds, unless you've got 67 Democrats, that's probably still not going to happen to a Supreme Court justice. But that business about checking the box about, no, my wife has no outside income, that thing is open and shut.
It's open and shut. That's public knowledge now. There's extensive evidence to support that assertion.
And
right?
Yeah, and I think the investigation of Brat should probably be quietly reopened somewhere in the House. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the House Judiciary Committee subcommittee on mysterious baseball tickets. The American people have a right to know who paid all that money, especially because the who paid all that money was not Brat Kavanaugh.
Right.
He's a little punk ass and has been all his miserable, shitty, privileged life. And he proved it in his hearings. And now he's proven that not only is he a punk ass, he's a shitty lawyer. And a shittier judge who just makes up shit in concurring opinions and signs it and says so.
What are you going to do? I'm a Supreme Court judge. What are you going to do? That's the worst.
Right. What are you going to do? I'm on the Supreme Court and no one has oversight over me. You know, you got all these ethical canons for members of the judiciary that apply to circuit court judges, district court judges, federal magistrates, and not a single letter, not a single dot of punctuation applies to a member of the Supreme Court of the United States. None. Nothing. And that can't be right. I mean, that can't be what the framers intended. That members of the Supreme Court were just supposed to be lawless thugs.
No, of course not. I mean, they thought of themselves as gentlemen, even though they were, you know, many of them were slave owners and all that. But, you know, they were gentlemen, supposedly.
And they had honor. Yeah. They had honor, Todd. Honor.
You know, they wouldn't do something like that. But this Kavanaugh guy is, Brett Kavanaugh is really, he's a substandard human being. He's just a weasel. He's just like he was in school. You know, it's so odd. And like you brought up during his hearings, his decorum was deplorable. He is a deplorable. He came in there yelling and spitting. And I'll never forget the way his wife looked when they were walking out. She was, I don't know if he emotionally abuses her, but it was something going on. It didn't look right. It didn't look right. I really feel like he's abusive to her. I'm not saying physically, but either way, it's not good. But he's just an ass. He's just, like I said, substandard human being. So let me ask you, the profits from the baseball tickets, was that related to the payoff on his houses or his real estate, or is that separate?
Those are separate, but we don't know. The same.
See, that's what I'm saying. Start with the financial institution. How does debt get paid off?
The same sugar daddy. The same sugar daddy may have paid for both.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when Sheldon Whitehouse gave that master class on judicial corruption. In the Amy Tony's Parrot hearing, there were 12 million mysterious dollars spent by someone who has no name, whom the American people are not allowed to know, to get Brett Kavanaugh confirmed. And they spent again.
He did say that.
And they spent again on Amy Tony's Parrot. So, no, it flies in the face of anything that the framers you know, their original intent. But the other part of it is, you know, all this goes backwards towards Citizens United, where the Supreme Court held that spending money on political campaigns is the identical exact same thing as speaking on behalf of a candidate. They literally enshrined the idea of money talks in the law of the United States. But if money, Todd, if money talks, well, wouldn't you want to know? I mean, wouldn't you want people to know who was doing the talking?
Right.
You know, this is not a 60 Minutes expose where they pixelate your face and make your voice, you know, you make your voice sound like that because you're given the skinny on some dodgy practice at a meatpacking plant.
Well, look, like you said, if corporations are people and money is speech, and corporations are using their money as speech, then they can be executed for crimes like people. That's just logic.
Seems like if you can have a people death penalty, you can have a corporate one.
And you know, it's funny that you brought up Citizens United, because the other day I heard one of these chattering folks say, "Oh my God, can you believe now we have foreign money in politics?" And that was the first thing that we talked about when Citizens United passed. It's like, oh my God, all you need is one shell corporation, one layer of insulation between you and that money coming from wherever, and anybody can buy our government. I mean, that's pretty damn simple to figure out. I don't even know how the hell that shit passed in the first place. A fifth grader could figure that shit out, unless you're Donald Trump.
Oh, you know, must be Donald Trump. Jesus, yeah. And by the way, you're not alone in having Amy Tony's parrot drive you crazy with her voice. Amy Tony Parrot's voice, Lee in New York says, "I'm not going to insult her voice, but then again, I never heard her say Bueller." Yeah.
That would be shrill.
Wait, what's this? Mark just sent me a screenshot. Walmart pulls guns ammo from shelves ahead of potential civil unrest. Breaking under 60 minutes, Mark says.
Huh. Where is this? Everywhere?
I don't know. Well, about half its stores sell firearms, which will still be available to purchase. Jesus.
Oh, well, back to the guns, you know, and this is how stupid the president is. He didn't even understand, or he didn't do the homework. The National Guard is already there in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the governor and the mayor made sure of that.
Yeah. And you know, Mayor Kenney is on the people's side. They it's just the police union. They've been, it's a tough nut to crack, man. This is generational stuff. The Philadelphia FOP is really a gang.
You know how pro-labor I am, but I don't think that a cop union's a real union. I mean, I oppose union busting in general principle, but I don't think I'd have a problem busting cop unions, because they're not unions. No. They're gangs.
The cop union is nothing but a lawyer-backed protectorate.
There you go. There you go.
You know, all we want is police to do their job. And I know it's hard. And it's hard. You know, corruption, it's hard to turn the other cheek, and then, you know, you're ostracized. But we have to do better than that. We have to. We've done it before. We can do it again. We just want good, honest police. You know? Yeah. And I mean, you know, and this, a lot of these guys, you know, they're coming back from war because they get extra points on the exam and they have issues.
If you have military service, I mean, I know this applies to the West Virginia State Police. If you're military or have been military, your military service counts toward your state police retirement. How sweet is that?
That's a hell of an incentive, isn't it?
Not getting killed is really the key to the benefits program, just like Vince Ricardo says in The In-Laws.
Oh, okay, I need to kind of go. But Fargo, you got to start at season one, episode one, because it is what we're dealing with now, except, you know, this is years ago, this was released. With the Minnesota kind of Nazi sympathizer type folks, you know, this is nothing new. They were there. They've been there. You know, we have a Nazi problem.
Yeah, we do. And we have a Nazi problem that we don't particularly much like to talk about. But it's a fact, we do.
Well, you're doing a great job, and I hope Steve is okay. Last time I heard him on the phone, he was sounding healthy and well, Steve in Georgia.
I had a note from Steve from Georgia, Stan. He said they dodged a bullet last night, that Hurricane Zeta blew right past him. Gusts up to 75 miles an hour, and 70% of his county was out of power, but he and Ms. Karen, Twiggy and Little Cletus were not out of power, so winning.
Great, 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 great. Well, anyway, thanks for the great conversation, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, you take care, Todd, and we'll find our way into some food porn soon. I got to find my Foley food mill so I can make the damn chili. I want
it. I was listening to you, you know, and you, oh, my God. And see, look, this is chili. Chili is no joke. Chili is serious stuff now. This is the real doo-doo. And it's easier to get these dried peppers now because, you know, we have Hispanic folks that live everywhere now. These bodegas, they got great peppers, man. Come on. I don't know about you. What's your Central American, South American community there?
Pretty much got to go to Charleston for anything if I can find it there.
Really? Well,
I'm ready to go. I've got a great collection of dried peppers, but I got to find that Foley food mill. Cause see
you were saying strange. It takes out the skin. What is it?
With all those big, beautiful red brick colored dried chili peppers, the skins are undigestible.
Right.
So what you do is you rehydrate them. You know, you snip the ends off, get the stems out, because that's just, you know, the stems, ain't, you cannot do anything with stems. Snip those off, shake out the seeds, and then split them so that you open up the fleshy part, and you fill a bowl, you know, you get a big plastic bowl, and you put all your dried chili peppers in there, and you cover them with boiling water. And you let them rehydrate for about 30 minutes to an hour. And they'll be nice and tender when they're done. And then your Foley food mill looks like a, you know, it looks like a saucepan. But it's got a sieve bottom and a handle. And that handle presses the food against the sieve so that the seeds and the skin stay back. And the beautiful brick red chili sauce goes through the sieve.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a little wire hickey on the bottom side of it that as you turn the crank, it turns on the bottom and continuously scrapes the bottom of the sieve.
Oh, you get all the goodness.
Yeah. And I got one, and I can't for the life of me find it, so I'm going to wind up having to order one from Amazon, and I got to get all the bills paid first.
And as soon as it comes, you're going to find the other one.
Oh, yeah, no, the minute it arrives, I'll open the box, and there will be an arrow on the inside flap of the cardboard box pointing to exactly where the other Foley food mill is.
See, because when you brought up the chili, and I'm thinking about your flat grill now, and the nice pot on the grill that has the slowly simmering chili that you made the day before, and then grilled Kaneka, maybe some Hillshire Farms cheddar worse, you know, just different sausages. Ready for the chili to go on top of them, nice on a nice roll.
Oh, yeah, but see, I still got to do, and it's that time of year. It's now or never. I got to do the ramen broth, and I want a pot of gumbo. Damn it.
And the
gumbo is where I'll be using the Kaneka. And the country ham that I still have left over from my last order from Benton's Smokehouse in East Tennessee.
Well, you know, I cooked Kaneka inside for the first time not long ago, and I just let it go slow. And I had the potato hot dog rolls, and I just cut it because, you know, people wanted to eat, so I just got it done. But wow, I mean, it's different, but it's just as tasty inside, you know.
Get all that, you know, all that, and the trick, you know, with the chili is because, you know, you brine it with all your chili spices in it, in the brine.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take it out, mm-hmm, and you pat it dry and everything, and then you re-season it with a rub, let it sit for a little while, let it go on the smoker, smoke. And meanwhile, you know, it's smoking over a pan of water, and all those drippings are going in there. And eventually you'll take that pan off, pour it in a plastic bowl or whatever, put it in the refrigerator, fat'll rise, scrape the fat, and that's your broth that you're going to mix the chili paste with.
Oh, man.
And then, you know, and then you want to get, it's that time of year, so fresh tomatoes? No. But you want to use some really, really kick-ass canned peeled tomatoes, just super ripe. Mm-hmm. Those Italian peeled plum tomatoes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The really good ones from Italy with the blue label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, and then, you know, you shred up the beef and, ugh. And the other thing, the other chili that I do is a chili verde that I make with pulped bell peppers and jalapenos and serranos and roasted tomatillos.
Mm-hmm.
And do that with smoked pork butt shredded.
Tell me about the last pepper.
Oh, the serranos?
No.
Oh, the tomatillos? No, the tomatillos are the little green tomato-looking things that grow on the ground. They got that kind of paper husk.
Okay. Okay.
And just put them on a, you core them where the stem is, and set them on a baking sheet, and just hit them with a little bit of oil and kosher salt.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even add in, you know, your typical Mexican spices and stuff. And roast them in the oven for about 20 minutes. And then they go through the food processor or the Foley food mill. And that green chili is heavenly. Of course, I like mine blazing hot, but, you know, I'm weird that way.
Well, see, that's that. I miss my, before I moved, I had been going to the Asian markets and the Jamaican fruit store. And anything good, I would say seed. And I had that Thai chili bush. Like, I planted it, and that sucker popped up, and it started to produce. And these chilies are only an inch long and maybe half an inch wide. They are super, super hot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
These are even hot. You know what I'm talking about?
I do indeed.
Whew.
Oh, and Ralph's just sent, there it is at Amazon. I was looking at it the other day. I didn't want to give up on trying to find the Foley food mill, but no. There it is at Amazon. Yeah, $30. Thanks for finding it, Ralphs. But those things are handy as hell. I mean, it's not just for making chili. It's anything that you want to make a really, really finely strained liquid or paste out of. But what it does with chilies is just not to be believed.
Well, you know, good chili is just magic. You know, it's magic.
Yeah, and I use my Mayakoba beans and all, you know, tomatoes and green peppers, and I'm a weirdo who puts mushrooms in chili, you know, onions,
With cheese, you can have chili on top of a baked potato, you can have it on top of rice, you can just have it by itself.
Yeah, but to have it there with the... I love cornbread, and to make a pan of cornbread that's got chopped jalapenos and and whole kernel corn in it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Damn.
Yeah, we do this to we do this to each other every time. So we'll close the program freaking hungry.
Don't tell me. Well, I wish you could have some of these pecans because this is the first year, and maybe I'm not exaggerating. I've been here since 08. I had pecans for 2 years, and then the rogue this band of squirrels just set up shop in the canopy, and I hadn't had any pecans till this year, and now. Oh my God! I got a whole bag like this morning.
Gotta make a pie. Gotta make a pie. The other thing, pie, pralines, and then those those sugar coated spiced pecans that you roast. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm gonna. That's the first thing on butter pecan ice cream, right?
Ooh.
With some chocolate syrup and then caramel syrup.
Yeah.
But they're special. I think you can live on those things. They're filling. It's got the good fat. I mean, they're hearty nut. And then, they're special. Well, anyway, I'm going to let you know what's going on around here. Let you know what's cooking next time. And everyone appreciates your show, your program, and your wisdom. And,
you got a note from our buddy, our pal, Shorty in L.A. She says, parting words I dedicate to my brother Todd. Noam Chomsky got it right. The military will come in to remove Trump's boys.
Damn, Shorty. I won't cry. I will not cry if it happens. I think we're all on pins and needles. This would be a great movie if this were not real. We have all these things. We have a pandemic.
Yeah, but you could never pitch it to us. You could never pitch it to a studio head. It's like, no, that's just stupid. That couldn't happen. No, that nobody'd go see. Nobody'd believe that. And by the way, adding to it, Shorty in L.A. says, speaking of chili and chili peppers and your food talk, gee, thanks, guys. Well, let's go look in the fridge and try for Plan B. Laugh my ass off. Yeah. Well, you have yourself a good evening. We'll get back at it for Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow. And, we'll just letting go now, letting go now.
Breathe.
Letting everything go. All the way till Wednesday morning.
Hey, may all be good in your world and everyone else's, and make the best of your environment. That's all we can do.
Here, here. Todd, you take care, my friend.
Good night.
Later. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. That's it for the program. It looks like we will try to finish the week and finish the month at 6:75 tomorrow. Thanks so much to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going through your subscriptions at PayPal and Patreon, your a la carte contributions. There are some of you who do all three, and that's just amazing. Thank you. Shorty say with a message, sing to him, Agnes, sing to him. I'll tell her you said so. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Next to last time, I'll say that for a few months. Best place to listen to Malloy is at headon.live. And hang out in the chat room. What the hell? Or maybe hang out in the Skype group. However you prefer. We're not rule-oriented around here. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. It's not getting better. The Dondemic is getting worse. It's spreading much more broadly. Stay home if you can. That's the safest way to live through this thing. If you have to be out and about, if it can't be avoided, well, wear your mask. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Soap and water. Even cold water and soap is fine. Works great. Carry hand sanitizer with you wherever you go. Maintain your social distance. Not just 6 feet, but 10, 15, 20, if you humanly possibly can. And if somebody comes towards you saying, Donald Trump sees potential in everybody, even you homosexuals, avoid her like the plague, because she is. Later, y'all.